What do you do?
Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare yourselves to enter a place of the unknown, to challenge your minds to a reality unlike anything you know. Take the bill and prepare to go to a place of no return. Prepare to learn the truth with your host, Michael Vera.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Late Night in the Midlands. I am Michael Vera, and this broadcast is coming at you live out of the capital city, Columbia, South Carolina, on this July 5th, 2012. Hope everybody enjoyed their Independence Day. I know I did. Went out with Autumn and the kids, and met up with some family, and all kinds of fireworks. Almost, you know, we would have had the perfect YouTube video. We would have the perfect video to win that $10,000 on America's Funniest Home Videos because doing the fireworks, as we know, you think it's dangerous lighting them. It can sometimes be dangerous being a bystander. They had these rocket deals that were supposed to shoot up in the air. Well, the first one shot off, and then the sucker tipped over, and we had missiles coming at us. So everybody, kids and all, sitting there in the chairs, and here comes pink missiles flying our way. So had a great time. No, nobody lost an eye. Everybody's still intact, so that was good and very enjoyable getting away. I've been off the last couple nights because we had an air conditioning issue. Turned out it was a bad breaker, which, you know, had to do some testing and finally found it, and that was the problem. So we've got the AC back. I'm here live and ready to go. My guest tonight is Stan Deo. He's been on this program a couple times before, and he's coming back again tonight. We're going to talk about Earth changes. We're going to talk about the New World Order. Probably get into a little bit of the free energy type technologies. And that's where we're going tonight. You're welcome to call in a little later on once Stan and I get some good conversation in. 858-683-1309. You got to press 1 so we know you want to get on the air. Websites, www.latenightinthemidlands.com and project.insearch.com. And again, I want to welcome each and every one of you, wherever it is you may be, around the globe, in that chat room, in those chat rooms, or on the phone lines. Should be a good program tonight. I found out a couple days back that, an actor that I really enjoyed watching as a kid, Andy Griffith, died at his home in North Carolina on Tuesday morning. He was 86 years old. He became a household name for his portrayal of a small-town sheriff on the Andy Griffith Show, which aired from 1960 to 1968. His character, Andy Taylor, was a widower in the fictional town of Mayberry, North Carolina, which was thought to be modeled after Andy Griffith's hometown, Mount Airy, North Carolina. His character encountered daily drama from his sidekick, Deputy Barney Fife. Who didn't like Barney Fife? Don Knotts, that is. As well as his young son, Opie, who we know as Ron Howard. So he's gone, you know, and I like the Matlock series as well. I used to love watching that, so sadly missed. You know, TV just isn't what it used to be, and I don't mean just, color from black and white, but I mean it's just not what it used to be. Some good shows, and, like all the good ones are just dying off, Get this one now. U.S. fertility researchers from the Institute for Reproductive Medicine and Science of St. Barbas in New Jersey have created. Now, I haven't been able to verify this, but this is the story I got. Have created, yes, created 30 healthy babies who have been genetically altered. It has been confirmed that two of these children have the DNA of three parents. Three parents. Now, do you see a problem with this? You know, just, I don't know, playing God might not be a good idea. You know, what do they hope to accomplish by doing this? Make the perfect citizen, the perfect human being, the perfect slave, maybe? The babies were created when women were treated for infertility by Professor Jacobs Cohen and his team. Their eggs had defects in tiny structures in their egg cells. They had gotten donor eggs inserted into these eggs, as well as DNA from sperm cells. So here they are screwing with this DNA, three parents. I mean, the babies will now pass on this genetic change to their children down the maternal line when they reproduce. Now, what I'm wondering is, so are these babies like lab rats now? Do they just, I mean, do they have them in cages and come in and test them every now and then? I mean, what's the deal there? What's going to happen with these children? And, you know, they call this guy a genius and so on and so forth. I think this is a bad move. The technique used could allow the parents of a child to choose a third parent with traits they wish their children to have. Because what God gives you just isn't enough, so you get to make your own choices now on that, such as being taller, and would open up the whole debate about the ethics of designer babies as a species. We have to be very careful that our inventions, they say, such as this technique, do not cause damage to the genes of our future descendants. You know, once you come up with something like this, I mean, that's like the atomic bomb. Oh, we got to just keep it here so no one else gets it. How well did that work out? That worked out pretty well, didn't it? So there you have it. There's a whole story on this. It's on latenightinthemidlands.com. So if you want to get the entire story, you can get it there. It's just amazing. You know, I seen this a couple days ago, and I'm like, well, I got to wait like 3 days to get on the air and talk about this. I mean, genetically modified babies. Wow. All right. On top of that, let's see here. I'm trying to get my screen right. Oh, okay. And what they termed another nauseating series of virtual learning center brainwashing courses that Border Patrol agents are forced to sit behind a computer for hours and endure, officials at the Border Patrol Union reported their members are taught in an active shooter course that if agents encounter a shooter in a public place, they are to run away and hide. Excuse me. You must be feeling safe now if you live anywhere near them borders. But on Saturday, while visiting Texas, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano had a different message, according to a government report. Says here, if we are concerned by such a shooter, we are to only, as a last resort, become aggressive and throw things at him or her. We are then advised to call local law enforcement. Yeah, don't shoot. Run and hide. But if you can find something to throw, you know, throw it at the guy with the gun. And wait for their arrival. So apparently the Border Patrol now is to run, hide, call 911, and wait for the police to get there. While more incident victims are slaughtered, states the Arizona Local 2544 Border Patrol website. These types of mandatory brainwashing courses and the idiocy that accompanies them are simply stunning when they are force-fed to law enforcement officers. And again, state NBPC Local 2544 officials, this says. On the one hand, the Obama administration opposes local law enforcement officers being involved in immigration enforcement. And on the other hand, the Border Patrol agents are taught to call the local cops when faced with violence being perpetrated by illegal aliens at U.S. borders, said former New York PD Police Sergeant James McMahon, now a security consultant, private investigator. And he asked, and I gotta go with him on this one, are the lunatics now running the Assam? I mean, really, are they? Are they running everything now? Just lunatics. I mean, Border Patrol agents, aren't they supposed to guard the borders, protect the borders? So now they got to run and hide. You know, a lot of crazy stuff going on here, and I'm still getting these arguments with people. I got so sick, as a matter of fact, of these petitions that I keep getting in my email, these idiots that send me these petitions about help support Obama's health care, help support Obama's this, help support, I don't know where these people come from. I guess they're hired help at the White House. So I went and did a petition today, and I says, help stop dictator Barack Hussein Obama. And I put that on. I hope it gets to the same people who are sending me these stupid petitions asking me to help you support Obama. Give me a break. It'll never happen. You could have me chained up. You could cut me with razors and throw salt in my wounds, and I still will not do it. It's just sickening. The Army has been creating an island since 1998 on the northeast coast of the United States. Slowly, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers built dikes to establish its perimeter. They spent more than a decade filling them in with mud. Its name, Poplar Island. It seems like a perfect place for a mystery movie with secret labs and mutants. Now, it's being said that nothing funny is going on there. And people think that you shouldn't jump to the whole conspiracy of it all. But, you know, I haven't seen anything about this anywhere in the news. You know, nobody's talking about it. So why so hush-hush if there's nothing to worry about? You know, look what they did with Plum Island. Imagine what they'll do with this island. The images for this time-lapse that they have up, I think it's on the NASA site. Not that I want to send people there, but I think that's where it is. They're taken by a Landsat satellite, which is managed by NASA and the U.S. Geological Survey. They show how the Army started to build these dikes. In 1998, the dikes have a sand core covered with stone and armor stone. So pretty interesting. You know, we've seen my hands on a story, I don't know, about a year ago now, where they were making this floating island, something I guess it was. And I thought, why are they making floating islands? Are they expecting, like, the oceans to rise or something? But now I haven't heard no more about that either. So you really got to fish for this stuff, because once you hear about it, it gets lost. It gets sent into the cyberspace somewhere, and you never see it again. So sometimes when I grab a hold of stuff like this, I make sure I save it on a external drive, in case I ever want to find it again, because this stuff disappears so quickly. Anyways, with that being said, that's all I got as far as news that I wanted to cover. I do want to say that we're going to have a great show here ahead tonight with Stan Dale, and I will take calls a little later on in the program, 858-683-1309. You got to press 1, so I know you want to get on the air. You can call in on Skype, too. Now, how you do that is you can go over to the Blog Talk Radio, Radio and Search Show page, and there's a link right on the website up near the top. It says Blog Talk Radio. It's a nice little link there. Click that, take you right over, and right next to the call-in number on that Blog Talk Show page, you're going to see a Skype button, and you just click that, and that'll bring you right in. Now, I know people have trouble with it. Sometimes it's there, it's not there, what have you. I'm actually working I got a mixer here, you know, and I'm working on getting everything connected to it so that I can actually have more numbers, which will benefit me. So we got a lot of things in the works here. But anyhow, that's how you'll call in on Skype. And if you didn't understand all that mumbo jumbo, then go into latenightinthemidlands.com and ask Autumn or somebody else who's in the chat room, and they'll gladly direct you on how to do that. The poll, I've been looking at the poll. I put a poll up a while ago, and, you know, it asked pretty much people's opinions on some sort of paid membership, not that people have to pay to listen or get the information, but just a way to fund this show, help better fund this show and everything that we do. And, you know, so far I've got a pretty good response from it. There are a few, even though they could listen free, I mean, because that's what, you know, some of these people want. They want everything free. But even though they could listen free, say, well, I would leave. I would leave. Well, for those people, I just want to say this. You're the ones who never post an article, who never share a link, who never tell your friends or your neighbors. You're the ones, most of the time, sitting on the couch, drinking your Budweisers, watching Fox News. So for those, you can leave. I'm not going to miss you. So I just want to make that clear. I always say this information, you know, the truth will set you free. That's why I always feel it should be free. But let's face it, folks, I have to be able to fund operations. And this is not cheap, what we do here. So, you know, donations help. You know, we get a little bit here and there on donations, certainly not enough to cover what we do. But I thought maybe for the ones who would be willing to support, they can take that paid membership, a subscription, I call it, and help fund the show, you know, support us. I mean, people are paying, six something to listen to Coast to Coast, past shows, I don't know, whatever, Alex Jones. I mean, even Rusty, Randy, Rods, Rhodes, whatever you want to call it, she even charges you to listen to her archives. Now, who the hell wants to? So, you know, we've never charged. 5 years, everything's been free. We're going to keep it free. We're just asking people to help out if you can. We're real here. We don't have no corporate sponsorship. We don't have no agendas. I know I don't have no agendas. And, we're free thinkers. You know, we like to open it up and explore all kinds of different options and ideas and solutions and point out the problems as well. And, you know, and it is what it is. You know, we don't have no fancy stuff that we do here. We just tell it like it is. I'm Michael Vera. This is Late Night in the Midlands. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Stan Dale will join me. So hang in there, and we will be right back. Tonight's podcast is sponsored by Five Star Shine, www.fivestarshine.com. Never wax your car again. NASA technology eliminates waxing forever and keeps your car incredibly clean. www.fivestarshine.com.
Are you ready for more than just a job that barely makes ends meet? Have you ever considered a home-based business where your earning potential is limitless? Where you decide how much you want to make for you and your family? Where you can be part of one of the most explosive and upcoming industries in the world? Be a part of a company that is poised and ready to explode into 24 countries in the near future. We're looking for leaders to help others with their health, wealth, and purpose. How about being a part of a community of people who want to bring awareness and change lives with health, wealth, and purpose? For more information, please call toll-free 888-598-3030. Working together, we can bring dreams, purpose, and happiness for all mankind. To learn how you can get started working with our exciting team now, call 888-598-3030. That number again is 888-598-3030. Or click the home business link at project.nsearch.com, latenightinthemidlands.com, or our new social network site, nsearch.com. NSearch is calling on good people around the world to spread the truth about things such as God, free energy, natural cures, or anything else that can help humanity in these dark days. No one can stop us when we work as a team to spread the truth, and that's why we created Team NSearch. Right now, we need people to post and share information on social network at nsearch.com and project.nsearch.com. We could also use some dependable people handing out our business cards and flyers whenever they can. If you'd like to help NSearch in any way, contact Glenn Kennedy on his website at www.project.nsearch.com. We also encourage as many of you as possible to add us to Skype ID team.nsearch so we can quickly reach you that way also. You can get access to electronic versions of our flyers and business cards by going to the Help menu option at nsearch.com. Print them out on your own computer or use them on vistaprint.com to print your own. You can also purchase a box of our business cards through our Help page on nsearch. We highly encourage our listeners to get the free Skype program and add us through Skype ID team.nsearch. This is the most reliable way we can reach you. Join Team nsearch, spreading the truth around the world today, and may God bless all your efforts.
Is it possible to read a person's thoughts? Can we implant thoughts also? Is there evidence of the existence of God? Does USGS records show increases in earthquakes due to nuclear testing? Author Jose Collazo says yes, and he has the proof in his three books titled America's New Slavery, FMRI Technology, America's New Slavery Behind the Scenes and Update, God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and much more. Researched under the Freedom of Information Act and other sources, Jose Collazo has the proof to most of his claims and is investigating others. You can get copies of his books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or www.xlibris.com. That's www.xlibris.com. Or you can click the book banner on the main page right next to the chat room on www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Get your copy now. Are you looking for ways to get your business or website noticed? In these tough times, are you looking for ways to increase sales? Well, you're in luck. Late Night in the Midlands is a great way to get your message to the masses without spending all your hard-earned dollars. We offer affordable packages for on-air runs and make it easy for you to purchase ad space on the website. If it is just a banner ad placement you're looking for, go to www.latenightinthemidlands.com and on the right-hand side under the player, you will see your options. Select your option and email your banner to us at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com and we can have you being seen by thousands upon thousands around the world who visit the Late Night in the Midlands website. Or, if it's an on-air run you're interested in, then contact me at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com and let's work out a deal you can afford and start letting us help you be noticed. There is a condition one out of every three people around the world suffer with.
RMS.
A condition that can be crippling.
RMS.
A condition that causes confusion and discomfort, rapid pounding of a fist on tables, an unwillingness to watch the fake news.
RMS.
Restless mind syndrome. You may not have heard of it, but if you are one of the millions suffering from this condition, there is now hope. You do not have to go through life not knowing what to do next or how to rid yourself of this health-bearing condition, now being recognized by doctors, lawyers, and victims all over the world. The cure? LNM. Just listen to this testimonial by one of our subscribers.
I can say true to my heart that LNM worked for me. I stood up day and night confused by what the fake news has told me. I could not even take care of my family or hold a job. I couldn't even get off the couch to do anything, and I knew there was a problem. Now, since I've been on LMN, my family life is back, and I'm waking up more people than ever around the world.
Now you know what you can do to put an end to restless mind syndrome. Ask your doctor about LNM and ask if it's right for you. LNM should not be taken without a prescription and should never be taken while on drugs like Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. You should also tell your doctor if you take Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, or Randy Rhoads serious. Side effects of LNM include waking up, spreading truth, passing out cards and flyers. Other side effects may include but not limited to the expansion of mind and thought, arguments with sheeple, high blood pressure, preparedness, mood swings, and the feeling of a need to get involved. If you see chemtrails after you have begun using LNM, contact your state and local officials immediately because this could be a sign you're waking up. LNM, because you don't have to live in the dark with RMS. Anymore. You're listening to Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera. The call-in number is 858-683-1309. We now return to the program. Okay, and return we have. I'm Michael Vera. This is Late Night in the Midlands, the website www.latenightinthemidlands.com, and Glenn Kennedy's website is www.project.nsearch.com. That's N as in Nancy, nsearch.com. So go on over, become a member, and be informed. My guest tonight, he is back with us once again, Stan Dale. Has held above top secret security clearance and worked undercover for the FBI. He was part of an exclusive black project headed by Dr. Edward Teller, specializing in the development of flying saucer technology. Stan is joining us tonight. We're going to talk about a few different things, Earth changes, the New World Order, maybe some technology talk here, and we will take calls a little later in the program at 858-683-1309. So let's get with it, and Stan Dale, it is a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be back. What's the weather like in your
world? Well, first off, Stan, you're coming in just a little low. I don't know if you got a volume control that you can boost up.
Oh, I talked to your girl there on the board. I don't know why that's doing that. Let me just see if I can do something else here.
Okay.
Give me a second.
Oh, not a problem.
All right, let's try that. Can you hear that?
That is a little better. Yeah, that's a little bit better. Yeah.
That's all we're going to get out of this.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's coming in. It's coming in pretty good. It's coming in fine. I think everybody can hear. So yeah, my neck of the woods. It's been frying here, Stan. Absolutely frying. The heat.
Yeah. Well, we've been getting that too. We're going to get actually some rain. It looks like in the next 5 or 6 days. That'd be really great for us.
Yeah. Well, we keep getting the threat of thunderstorms, but we have not been fortunate enough to get downpoured on, at least not in my area. Dan, I had the air conditioning was out for us for a few days here, so it was torture, over 100 degrees.
Wow.
And yeah, but we survived.
Well, some people have things like, you know, swampers, they call them, the evaporative coolers. And of course, when when it gets to be real humid, at the same time you're trying to cool your house by blowing that breeze through, it doesn't work too well.
Absolutely. Hey, Stan, I thought maybe we could start out. Maybe you can help us all understand what you know as far as the changes that are taking over on this planet with the earthquakes, the volcanoes. The new Madrid Fault. I understand you had a vision, did you not, about that?
Well, I had several, but one of them did say, show that I was up in the air a little bit off the Washington-Oregon coastline, and I was looking down the coastline toward Mexico City, all along the west coast and down to Mexico City. And at that time, there looked to be about maybe six or more volcanoes erupting at the same time from Mount St. Helens region, right on down to Popocatépetl. Trying to say that. Anyway, down next to Mexico City, and they were blowing, flames and ash and stuff. And there was actually wet ash, on the roads leading from Washington State and Oregon and Northern California. Any of the roads that were heading east to get across the mountains were slippery. Where your car, if you came around a bend too fast and hit the wet ash, you'd sail right off. You couldn't put your brakes on.
Oh,
so
wow.
It made me remind some folks who lived up there to carry a grappling hook or a rope or something like that to pull yourself out if you do get thrown over the side, not watching out where you're driving. The ideal situation would be to drive slow and get out before the things are up and are throwing the ash and stuff all over the roads. There were people
right.
trying to get out, going over the mountain road. That's why what I saw.
Ooh. So did it have to do with this this fault? I mean, is it? Do you think
yes,
it's
sorry with the Cascades fault and with the faults underneath California and in into the Sierra Madres? All those areas there were kind of fracturing and breaking up as though the coast were going to break off. I know that sounds a bit alarmist, but that's what it looked like.
Wow. So, what do you think is causing all this? I was checking out your website, and I seen a few things where there was some talk about planet expanding.
Well, it's in a new theory of gravitation that I've been working on for a year and a half now in a paper I'm writing. And in that paper, I see things like fine filaments in a waveform spiraling around a planet. And they go and form the surface of the planet by the sum of the pressure waves spinning out from the planet and those coming back. And satellites have to orbit in one of these stable rings, even though you can't see them, the rings, not the moons or things. Planets do the same thing going around the sun. Now, this waveform that actually collects debris and meteors and stuff like that and brings it down to the surface of the Earth goes inside planets at the poles. And it closes for most times, but there are periods of operation of this spinning, spiraling fluid where it actually reverses and opens up the polar regions, north and south both, and lets heat escape and opens up the poles just a tiny bit and then closes down later. At the same time, there's another factor at play here. When the planet is slowing down, the field around it is slowing its spin as it ages, it causes the planet's surface to expand. Now, already the Earth is 25% larger than it was when it was originally formed and had the single landmass before the splitting of the continents.
Mm-hmm.
This occurred, we don't know whether it was suddenly or whether it was a periodic thing over weeks. But anyway, the planet did expand. And it may be going through or starting another expansion stage right now from either the heat from the sun pouring in and the energy pouring into our electromagnetic field from the solar wind or from some other causes allied to the gravitational wave theory I'm working on. But whatever it is, yeah, I think this is what is causing a lot of the sinkholes across the United States and elsewhere on the planet. As the skin of the Earth stretches, weak areas that have been held together because at a certain diameter the planet was all, you know, kind of compressed together, and whether you were on sand or, you know, rock or whatever, everything held together. And so they built roads and houses and stuff over these things. But as leaks occurred, as flooding occurred, and the planet started to expand just a little bit, it removed the support in those weak areas, and they started dropping out. And they are still dropping out. So that's kind of what I think is causing a lot of our problem at the moment.
Yeah, you know, we are hearing about a lot of sinkholes, and we've been hearing about it for, I don't know, probably the last couple of years. It seems to have increased. I just seen on the news tonight, they were showing a road. They said because of the heat, this road literally split apart. And, you know, the first thing I thought of was you. Yeah.
Was it concrete or like tar?
Oh, it was asphalt. It was like the tar, the blacktop type material. It split right apart.
Thinking the sun's going to get a lot hotter. And when it does, we might even see these tar roads bubbling, you know, and becoming sticky, gooey things that stick on your tires during the heat of the day, which will not be good, obviously, but it's going to mess up a lot of cars and roads at the same time.
Right.
I was going to talk about
the sun a little later, but now that we're on the subject, what's going on with the sun? What can we expect from it? You know, are we looking at some kind of death ray coming from the sun at some point, or is it going to, you know, reverse and cool down a little bit, or what's happening?
Well, if you look at Bible prophecy, for one thing, it does say that the light of the moon will be seven times as bright as it is now during a period when the sun suddenly becomes very hot and bright. Now, I don't know whether that means the light of the sun is going to be seven times greater or not, but the moon will be seven times brighter than it is now. The sun will be brighter and hotter, but I don't know how much. So what I'm thinking is going to happen is when the sun does like throw off flares or coronal mass ejections or goes through a phase state change on the surface where the coronal holes dominate the surface of the sun, we might see a huge increase in heat from that. According to the Bible, it will burn a third of the trees and the fish in the ocean will be killed, a third of them, and the green grasses will catch fire. Even the Hopi Indians are expecting a huge increase in heat on the planet, so much so that some of them are building underground kivas or like mud brick igloos under the ground. This kind of tells you that they're expecting the same thing. The sun itself is in its grand solar maximum, and that grand solar maximum is very rare. It means that the sun is going to be a lot more active than it is in a normal solar sunspot action. Using that information, you can kind of anticipate over the next 2 years, maybe 3 years at the most, increasing solar activity. And because part of the prophecies in the book of Revelation speak about the sun also becoming dark for a short period of time, like you were holding up a broadweave cloth, a black sackcloth, and you were looking at the sun through that, you would see pinholes of light, but most of the sun would be dark. That might be super sunspots, you know, like a huge number of sunspots covering the side of the sun is facing us, or it might be a variety of coronal holes, black holes that appear, not like a black hole astronomically, but just dark areas that appear on the surface of the sun, on the side facing us. Now, I think if we're here when this happens, we're going to be seeing roads melt, we're going to be seeing trees and houses catch fire just from the heat of the sun. It's going to be a terrible time. And if you look at what Dimitri Dudeman has said and other biblical prophets, they say America is going to burn at some point. It might be we're facing the sun when that happens. It might be a nuclear attack. It might just be wildfires that go crazy. But we're going to get hot and we're going to burn here, I do believe.
So then people should be concerned. This is a reality. This isn't just people fear-mongering about the sun. Because, you know, even myself, I've noticed that, you know, maybe I'm inside too much. I don't know. But when I go outside here, it just seems like it is brighter. It is hotter. If I have my arm out the car window, it's, you know, sometimes it feels like it's burning. And I don't
like
remember
little
that.
Do you feel like little needle pricks in your skin?
Yes, exactly.
That might be more ultraviolet.
I see. Now, what will all this do? I mean, obviously, our power grid, most likely, well, it won't hold up if something like that should happen. But what about our magnetic field as well?
Well, that's part of the problem. The magnetic field is weakening. We know that. And at some point, it's going to go to zero and flip around so that the South Pole becomes the North Pole magnetically. As far as the planet turning upside down, I see that happening, but it, you know, I mean, it could. But the magnetic field is measurably decreasing. And if it goes through that zero point where there's no magnetic field while it's changing the polarity, it will destroy our ozone layer and our ionosphere. They'll disappear. Because the magnetic field is what helps create them and hold them in place. So during that time, we'll be bombarded with the full strength of interstellar radiation and also from the sun, which is our closest, most powerful neighbor. During that time, you definitely do not want to be outside. You want to be underground somewhere hiding and don't want to be looking outside. You definitely don't want to be looking up at the sun with even sunglasses on. Now, that could happen in the next 2 or 3 years. We have been doing tests here in Australia and in Alaska and a couple other places, measuring changes in the magnetic field, the vertical component of it, and we've been seeing things flip-flopping less than 2 years, back and forth, indicating instability in the vertical component of the Earth's magnetic field. All that means is that, yes, we're getting close to something that might take away our protection from the sun.
And if that should happen, then I would guess most people won't be underground. Most people are going to get fried by this. But it would seem like the government or the elite, that they're preparing for something. And maybe this is what it is.
Well, look, I can't name my source, but we are reasonably certain that they're expecting at an official level, very quietly, a major solar event before October of this year. And I don't know what it is. I can't get any more information out of my source, but it does appear that they're thinking about that.
All right. Well, thanks for the heads up. I know I felt it for the last few years. Something's coming. Something's going to happen. I didn't want to pinpoint and try to say that I know what it is because I don't. But, you know, between the underground bases, the laws that have been being put in place as of late, just the FEMA camps. Here's something that people think are just a fairy tale. But, you know, this is true. It's real. So, amazing.
Well, I don't know how good the FEMA camps will be, but I know that the elite have been building underground tunnels in cities for many, many decades now. It's really kind of a common secret that it's public, that everybody knows about, but we can't find out where they all are. And I suspect a lot of them, are going to go underground when the time comes. And so leading politicians and, country leaders and stuff like that start disappearing, and scientists all of a sudden, you might suspect they're being taken underground to survive this.
Yeah, yeah. You know, people say all the time, watch the animals. If you see the animals taking off, then you know something's coming. I say, watch the government. If you see people taking off there, then you know something's coming. Now, is our gravity being affected on this planet as well? And if it is, how explain it a little bit if you could.
Well, I think, I'm not sure on the gravitational measurements. I haven't really checked that lately, but there are various strengths to the Earth's magnetic field depending upon where you are. Some of the underground, like inverse mountains of mass, create more gravity in spots around the Earth than not in regular spots or just all over the place. In fact, if you put like NASA did, if you make a plot of the Earth's surface showing hills and valleys, where the hill being a high gravitational field and a blue, valley being a low gravitational field, it looks like a golf ball that somebody has beat to death. The gravitational fields are very irregular over the surface of the Earth, but within minor amounts when you get down to it. I mean, you're not going to feel like 2 pounds lighter in this part or that part, but. Under my hypothesis, or working toward a theory of how the gravitational fields of planets and star systems work, the planet will expand and the gravitational field will weaken on the surface of the Earth until it breaks up at some point in time. I don't think that's happening anytime soon, so don't get panicky there. I really think that it's going to be hard to endure the heat on the surface of the Earth. You're going to have reflective material over the top of something, and like a cave would be the best thing. You get deep in a cave.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be terribly, terribly hot for a few days, perhaps 2 weeks.
Yeah, people are going crazy now with the heat wave that we have. I couldn't imagine it doubling. Or even tripling, and that's probably where it would go, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it will get hot enough to boil the tar and make the roads melt, so whatever temperature
that's hot enough.
that's bad enough. I mean, I've seen that when it was only about 120, or the road was about 120. It wasn't really that hot in the air, but over in Texas when I was there as a kid, I saw it bubble the tar and heat that I could stand in, so it might be 200 degrees. It'd just be casting a guess because there's so many variables. I couldn't be exact, but it will get hotter.
Right. Well, it would definitely kill vegetation and cause a lot of problems for whoever did survive it, that's for sure. You know, people, when we talk about this kind of stuff, they always say, well, you do this and do that to survive. And, I want to survive, but I want something to come back to, too, if I can't eat and I can't drink water, I guess it's going to be torturous till the end. So now, if a magnetic pole shift was to happen, will it actually kill life off, or will it be just a couple days or a couple weeks and business as usual? Or is that the kill?
It will kill a lot of life that is not protected. it's only going to be a short period of time, you know, probably days in the transition until it starts to build up a field again. But you definitely do not want to be out in it, even with, you know, protective clothing on. You want to be hiding somewhere underground or in a cave or in a very well-insulated basement. I don't even know if that'll be good enough, but you can try it. I mean, that's all you've got. That's all
right.
We've got here. That's how we'll weather it if it happens while we're here.
Well, I don't even have that where I am. You know, in South Carolina, it seems rare to find basements, which is amazing to me because in a place that can get, you know, severe weather, I would think that, you know, basements would be something they'd want. But no, you know, it seems like every home that I've been to here, just no basements. So if there's a tornado or something, you know, I don't know, run for the hills.
Well, I know Holly was living as a teenager in the Kansas, Missouri area, and they had to prepare for tornadoes. They're very common in the area, and everybody had some kind of a, you know, food storage and water storage and a place to dive in should the tornado strike. But because of the tornado alley expanding and because of the drought getting more severe and spreading across the southeastern part of the United States, I can see, you know, even hurricanes going overland, you know, landicanes, which are big tornadoes, big. So people really ought to be making something like that now, you know, while they can afford it and have the time to go down and weather, you know, huge windstorms, because that's coming too.
Yeah, I mean, look at the storms that just passed through the country, what, I don't know, days ago. They had something like packing 70, 80-mile-an-hour winds because the front was kind of a V-shape. And it was just packing such power. They said it was like hurricane force winds on land.
That's right.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, with the heat engine of the sun pumping the energy in, it's causing extremes of weather, extreme dry drought fire, and extreme storm weather tornado wet flooding. And it's going to be this way until the input of energy from the sun, you know, cools off. And that might be 2 or 3 years. You know, before it's
now,
dark.
Do you think this is all sun? Or because, you know, what I do here, I hear it from all ends, and people, some think it's HARP, some think it's this, some think it's that. I think that it's the sun has a whole lot to do with it. But do you think there's anything else playing factor in all this? I mean, do you think man's messing with the weather like this and maybe causing problems too? Or
well, man's input to it would be simply to guide a hurricane or a storm, to try to guide it a little bit in a certain direction once it forms. Yeah, the HARP thing does not have enough energy to make those great storms and tornadoes and hurricanes, but theoretically it could steer it a few degrees off its intended course by making certain areas on the side, on the edge of these hurricanes, too hot, which would make the direction of the hurricane change. I think, as you do, that the majority, the great majority, like 95 or better percent of all the problems we've got building up are from the sun itself running through a cyclic or periodic type misbehavior, in our opinion, but which may have been responsible for animal extinctions in the past.
I see. And now I've had a few people tell me that, yes, it is the sun, but there's something causing the sun to act that way. And I guess what I'm getting at is this Planet X thing. I've had a few people trying to convince me that this Planet X is somewhere around the sun, and that's why this is happening. I'm not so sure I'm totally convinced of that, but I'd like to get your opinion on it.
I'm not either, Michael. I've been looking for information from our Southern Hemisphere astronomers, the amateur ones, not the government ones, and trying to find if anybody's got infrared telescopes to see such a thing as though it were like a dark star of some sort, but we haven't gotten any information back to that effect. I know that should a Planet X, you know, they're talking about, be a dwarf star, should it be a planet the size of Earth or whatever coming in, I can calculate its orbit, and certainly there is an orbital ring around the sun in my new equations, which has a period, you know, an orbital period of about 3,600 years, which does seem to fit the story of the Planet X. But you have to know where it is at certain points in time, and if it's going to be here now, it will only be in our solar system in the inner planets for no more than 11 years before it's kicked back out and way out rapidly out onto its long orbit out beyond, like 75 astronomical units. I mean, it's going to be way out there. So, I'm still reserved on this Planet X business. I haven't seen any valid photographs of people trying to say this satellite photograph shows a planet and stuff like that. The photographs really aren't doing that. They're just showing variations in the coronal mass ejections as they and the flares as they come off the sun. I've seen them many times before. So this isn't what we're seeing in these photographs that people are passing around. I'd like to have more information on it, but at this point I don't have anything to convince me.
Right, and same with me. I've had so many throughout the last few years people sending me pictures. Here it is. This is this. This is that. And it's just stuff that's just pictures. They're like these little dots out so far, and it's that for me that don't prove to me what I'm looking at. And so I'd kind of like to see it with my own eyes or get a solid source who says, yes, this is how you can see it with your own eyes. And that has not happened yet, so I'm not convinced either. And I would think that if something the size of Planet X was out there, that we would see tides like you wouldn't believe.
What, tides on the sun or on the Earth?
Well, on the Earth.
Well, if it were that close, because for normal gravitational fields, like the secondary gravitational field, you have to be a lot closer than somewhere out there, on the other side of the sun or whatever. You got to be close enough to be seen in a big way, even with the naked eye,
right,
before that gravitational field has been causing tides. I mean, the moon has to be as close as it is, and it's not any, what is it, a sixth the Earth's mass or something, and it causes tides, but it's real close. If you have a planet-sized object that close, you'd see it. And even four or five times that distance, you'd see it with the naked eye. That's what I'm saying. You can have something like that perturb the orbit, the invisible fluid that moves planets around the stars. You can perturb an orbit by some massive thing like that coming in and putting a ripple in the orbit. And what that would do is make, let's say that the Earth, if its orbit was rippled, it would make the Earth bobble in and out and closer up and down as it went along, for a few months. And rather than make tides, it would change our orbit, just make it a little bit irregular. And we could detect that. I haven't seen that yet either, but we certainly have something way out there that's been disturbing the orbits of Uranus and Neptune. And this is not a secret, and this is a well-known thing in the astronomical community, that there's a massive object out there that's pinching the orbits of Uranus and Neptune. So, and you can't see it, but you can see the effect on their orbit, not exactly on the surface of those planets.
Right, and I've seen a lot of data on that, and that's why I say it's not that I don't believe that something's out there. I just don't believe it's as close and affecting us the way some have been saying that it will. I mean, I had one guy send me a video, and it looked like another moon in the sky. He said, from the southern hemisphere, that's you can see it. And I'm thinking, well, why haven't I received 100, 200, 300 pictures from other people on this? And
exactly,
if it was as close as he says it was, then it would affect the tides. And so I kind of, just a lot of stuff to write off. And it's just, I'd like something solid. I don't doubt
that
planet
exists. I've got friends and family down in Australia. None of them have seen this kind of nonsense. I mean, so no, I don't think it's happening yet.
No,
I don't
either.
Great shot on our website. Holly's got a photo of the day on standale.com. If you go there, there's a big yellow thing that says photo of the day on the top right-hand part of the page, and it's a ripper photo of a guy standing in a grassy field with the image of the sun being kind of blacked out by an eclipse, and actually probably the effect of the telephoto lens, but something's blocking out part of the sun so you can just see the heat of the sun, the bright light around the edge of it, and it's a really nice photo, but it does kind of tell you that things are baking, and as though you need to be told that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Stan, we've got to take a break here. Come back from the break, maybe we could have you give a little bit more about your background and what led you into this path, and we could talk a little bit maybe about the New World Order and what to expect. And we'll take calls, too, 858 683-1309. You got to press 1 so we know you want to get on the air, and we'll fit you in. You just got to be patient. The website, www.latenightinthemidlands.com, and we've got Stan Dale linked up over there as well. So everybody hang in there with me. We're going to be a few minutes here, and we'll be back in, well, a few minutes. Tonight's podcast is sponsored by Five Star Shine, www.5starshine.com. Never wax your car again. NASA technology eliminates waxing forever and keeps your car incredibly clean. www.5starshine.com.
Are you ready for more than just a job that barely makes ends meet? Have you ever considered a home-based business where your earning potential is limitless? Where you decide how much you want to make for you and your family? Where you can be part of one of the most explosive and upcoming industries in the world? Be a part of a company that is poised and ready to explode into 24 countries in the near future. We're looking for leaders to help others with their health, wealth, and purpose. How about being a part of a community of people who want to bring awareness and change lives with health, wealth, and purpose? For more information, please call toll-free 888-598-3030. Working together, we can bring dreams, purpose, and happiness for all mankind. To learn how you can get started working with our exciting team now, call 888-598-3030. That number again is 888-598-3030. Or click the home business link at project.nsearch.com, latenightinthemidlands.com, or our new social network site, nsearch.com. NSearch is calling on good people around the world to spread the truth about things such as God, free energy, natural cures, or anything else that can help humanity in these dark days. No one can stop us when we work as a team to spread the truth, and that's why we created Team NSearch. Right now, we need people to post and share information on social network at nsearch.com and project.nsearch.com. We could also use some dependable people handing out our business cards and flyers whenever they can. If you'd like to help NSearch in any way, contact Glenn Kennedy on his website at www.project.nsearch.com. We also encourage as many of you as possible to add us to Skype ID team.nsearch so we can quickly reach you that way also. You can get access to electronic versions of our flyers and business cards by going to the Help menu option at nsearch.com. Print them out on your own computer, or use them on vistaprint.com to print your own. You can also purchase a box of our business cards through our Help page on NSearch. We highly encourage our listeners to get the free Skype program and add us through Skype ID team.nsearch. This is the most reliable way we can reach you. Join Team NSearch, spreading the truth around the world today, and may God bless all your efforts.
Is it possible to read a person's thoughts? Can we implant thoughts also? Is there evidence of the existence of God? Does USGS records show increases in earthquakes due to nuclear testing? Author Jose Collazo says yes, and he has the proof in his three books titled America's New Slavery, FMRI Technology, America's New Slavery Behind the Scenes and Update, God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and much more. Researched under the Freedom of Information Act and other sources, Jose Collazo has the proof to most of his claims and is investigating others. You can get copies of his books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or www.xlibris.com. That's www.xlibris.com, or you can click the book banner on the main page right next to the chat room on www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Get your copy now. Are you looking for ways to get your business or website noticed? In these tough times, are you looking for ways to increase sales? Well, you're in luck. Late Night in the Midlands is a great way to get your message to the masses without spending all your hard-earned dollars. We offer affordable packages for on-air runs and make it easy for you to purchase ad space on the website. If it is just a banner ad placement you're looking for, go to www.latenightinthemidlands.com, and on the right-hand side under the player, you will see your options. Select your option and email your banner to us at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com, and we can have you being seen by thousands upon thousands around the world who visit the Late Night in the Midlands website. Or, if it's an on-air run you're interested in, then contact me at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com, and let's work out a deal you can afford and start letting us help you be noticed. Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera. The call-in number is 858-683-1309. We now return to the program. We are back. This is Late Night in the Midlands. Stan Deo is my guest tonight, and we're discussing Earth changes. We're going to get into the New World Order a little bit because it's all connects in one way or another. And we're also going to get a little bit of his background. You know, he worked with different technologies and such. I'd like to hear a little bit about that as well. We'll get to your calls as well. Just be patient. 858-683-1309. And let's get back to it with our guest, Stan Deo. Stan, yeah, a little more on your background for those who might be new to the program and haven't heard you on here before. You know, stuff that led you on your path.
Well, I was in the computer industry in Dallas 1964 to 1971. And in 1971, I had a home and a family in Mesquite, Texas, just outside Dallas. I had a private research laboratory I'd built there, which was mainly for electrical things, electronics, and I'd been working on a way to make a flying saucer with charged air so that it would fly very efficiently. Now, in my office in Dallas, I was in control of a bunch of programmers and systems analysts who were working for a very large conglomerate of 100 corporations, and so I had an office there and a blackboard that I could use in my private office, and I would work on it, my blackboard, some of my thoughts when it was, you know, lunchtime or nothing was happening with, you know, that needed my attention. And I think that's probably where somebody saw what I was doing, but I was writing some of the equations on there. And anyway, there was a guy there, an executive in one of the 100 companies that was in the building. His office was there, and I'd never met him before, but he came down and sat right across from me in a table in a lunchroom there. It could hold about 1,500 people, and it was empty because it was off lunch, you know, time for people. I was just down there getting a cup of coffee and getting away from everything. And he sat across from me, and he introduced himself, and we talked for a while. And he said, you ought to go see a friend of mine, Dr. James R. Maxfield, just up the street here. He's interested in that kind of research that you're doing there. And I said, oh, yeah, well, I'm just playing at home. It's nothing really serious. And left it at that. About a month went by, and this guy shows up again down there when I'm getting a cup of coffee by myself. He comes over and says, look, my friend hasn't heard from you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make an appointment for you this afternoon to see him at 3. He really wants to talk to you. So he must have done some digging around at that time. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And I went over there, and I was introduced to Dr. James R. Maxfield there at the Radiation Research Facility. I think it was on Lemon Avenue. I can't remember exactly anymore. But anyhow, he took me into his office, and it was just him and his secretary and me there in the building as far as I knew. But he closed the door, and he showed me photos on the wall of him and Dr. Edward Teller in a submarine going under the pole and a few things like that. And he said, sit down, boy. He says, tell me what you're doing at home in your lab. And I said, well, gosh, I realized all of a sudden I was talking to a guy that was rubbing shoulders with Ed Teller and was a mathematician, you know, extraordinaire, and been trained in areas I'd never been trained in. And I felt kind of silly, you know. I thought, well, sir, it's I've been working on, you know, electricity and magnetism and combining that perhaps with gravity. And he said, look, don't toy with me. He says, we know you're working on anti-gravity. How far have you gotten? Well, I didn't know I was working that closely on anti-gravity, but I thought, well, okay, I'd done some tests and hadn't proved anything yet. So I said, well, yeah, okay, why are you interested? And he says, well, we want you to work with us. And I said, who's us? He says, well, Dr. Teller, myself, and a bunch of people who work with us on developing flying saucers. And you could have cut the silence with a knife, let me tell you. And I said, oh, you've already been doing this kind of stuff? And he said, oh, yeah, since the late 50s, we've been developing flying saucers of various types, and we're now into anti-gravity. And what I was working on was already done and tested by them years before I even started on it, but I didn't realize it. He said, we'd like for you to join our team down in Australia. And I said, Australia? He said, yeah, that's the place for young men like yourself to finish his research. I'm not here. And so they made arrangements. He picked up the phone and immediately called the Australian consulate to get somebody to come out and interview me officially so that I could be sent down to Australia as an engineer, electronics engineer, and, you know, join the team. And making a long story shorter, I did get down there, and my control agent was Captain Sir John Williams in Melbourne. And as time passed, I realized that we had the organization and I had a great parting of the ways, you know, in how to release technology to the people. They were holding back even energy technologies that I thought would help a lot of third world countries get water, you know, out of the air even. So we parted ways, and we parted ways in a very nasty way, where they decided I was going to be at the bottom of a mine shaft permanently.
Oh, boy.
In Victoria. So I ran. I figured out a clever way to get away from it, and I did, and I hid for quite a few months before they caught up with me. And I was out in the middle of the Nullarbor Desert on the western side of Australia in a campfire, or at a campfire with some friends. And a guy drives up, you know, in the middle of the desert, you see him coming for a long way, and people do drive past that area a lot, and they did in those days. And he comes over, and it's an American, and we're talking. Turns out he knew who I was, and he'd been looking for me, and he was with the CIA, I believe he said he was. And he said, you know, look, I was in here to dispose of you, but I'm going to let you go. He said, I'm going to pretend I didn't see you, and you get yourself over to Perth in West Australia and stay there. So I did, and I lived to tell the tale and write a book and do TV shows and tell people about the physics of electromagnetic aircraft or flying saucers and why, you know, they've been covered up by the group that's doing it and what their overall plan was for humanity, and also how they had interacted with alleged aliens, gray critters. So that's kind of my background. I hope that kind of answers some of the questions here.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, I do have a couple of questions about the UFOs and such. You know, I've had sightings of my own. Millions and millions of people have had sightings. And yet there's people out there who say that they don't exist, say that, and some, you know, there's all kinds of different theories. Some say that they're not solid material, that they're able to disappear and reappear or what have you. I mean, what is running those things? I mean, do you have an idea of how these things are?
Unidentified flying objects, UFOs, can be cover a lot of things. If you're talking about super fast craft that don't make a sound and zip here and there and make sharp angle turns at high speeds.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of UFO can be from a couple of sources. One is from the group that I worked for at that time, and the other is from the alleged aliens, which, in my opinion, those gray critters, the short ones and the tall ones, are really androids or biological robots. They seem to be soulless, you know, emotionless, and I think they are just doing a job to really frighten the people of Earth more than anything when they abduct them. And that's the source of one of those, or several of those kind of craft. And our source is the number of craft that humans have in the air at any point in time is probably very limited, since in the late 70s, we had an agreement with them, underground basis, where we developed technologies and gave them certain things to develop their own technologies, and they would give us technology in exchange for a couple of favors and let them abduct people and things like that. Now, in the late 70s, there was several wars the humans in these underground bases at the poles and various other places in the continental United States. When that when the dust settled from that, the humans had been kicked out of basically all of their underground secret bases, and they were taken over by these gray critters and some others that were taller than them. Now, after 70s, I don't know what happened. I just know that they were moving in the early 70s, and they, by the end of the 70s, they had taken over our facilities. They got our technology, our industrial complexes that we built for them underground, so they can make their own weapons for a war that they're going to be fighting from, you know, from like a parallel universe almost around us in the great day of conflict that they're going to have with the leader of the good guys, if you wish, because I think these guys are bad. It's like the Bible, mm-hmm. between Satan and Jesus, and I think that this is where they're headed. The idea, in my opinion, from what has happened to our bases, is that Satan is going to come posing as a messenger of light and helping people on the earth. He's going to come when we have economic crisis, solar crisis, threat of nuclear war crisis, food, economic crisis, plagues, all kinds of stuff will be threatening mankind. He's going to come with an answer if we'll just let him appoint the world leader. Now, to make himself look like he's fulfilling biblical prophecy, he's got these gray critters that he created probably to create all the havoc and the abductions and the fear of these aliens, alleged aliens. And when people see him say, okay, you gray critters, I know where you're from, get out of here, and runs them off, people are going to say, wow, you know, that's really a guy helping. He's got rid of these critters that were from somewhere out there and hurting us. And he's giving us technology and help to solve the planet and bring peace. Hey, this is a good guy. And he says, well, look, not only am I the good guy, but I'm the Messiah, he's going to say. And that is the great deception that is coming. That's why all this UFO stuff has been held back from the public to make the groundwork for when he gets rid of them and arrives on the scene to save mankind from a lot of things, including this alleged alien invasion.
So Satan's spawns have been working this agenda for a long time then, haven't they?
They have. They have. And, you know, I think a lot of the Earth people involved in this were fooled because a lot of them aren't biblical scholars, and they were thinking that these really were aliens from some other planet that they were dealing with, and they tried to negotiate a number of deals and did, but these critters, these androids or whatever they are, they broke the deals consistently and would never really keep any contracts or agreements that were made between the humans in charge of the research and these critters.
Now I'd like to know how these androids were built. I wouldn't be surprised to see Made in China on the back of them or something. But
you know, I could almost believe that these days. Well, look, bioengineering, if you look at Satan and his minions, we're talking about beings that have lived for thousands and thousands and thousands of years and no technologies that we can't even dream of at the moment. And I'm sure that the good guys, like on Jesus' side, and, you know, the creator, the Elohim, God, that they did manipulate DNA to create Adam and Eve from, you know, Adam from the dust and Eve from his rib, like a DNA transfer, to clone a part of him. And so if he could do that, Satan, I'm sure, knows about that, and he was able to clone these android bio-robots from things he found here on the Earth. People, animals, something. I mean, we're just now scratching the surface ourselves of bioengineering, genetic engineering. Imagine someone that's had 10,000 or 20,000 years of technology to draw upon. You know, what they could do would be magic to us.
Yeah, you know, I just went over a story today. I seen it actually a few days ago where they say that researchers here in the United States have created 30 genetically modified babies, that they've actually took the DNA from three different parents and created this one perfect baby. Of course, they're, you know, but they got 30 of them. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? You know, what are they... What are they trying to accomplish with all this? And it's just
and we're only hearing what they, yeah, and we're only hearing what they make public, aren't we? I mean, what are they not telling us? What kind of monsters are they creating?
Oh, exactly. And I was telling my listeners, I says, you know, it sounds to me like they're looking for a way to create the perfect citizen, the perfect slave. As we know, they've been looking for the God gene and all that. They want to remove it, so we'll only have faith in them and nobody else. And it's really just come to a point where, I've heard the talk of revelations for a long time, and, I thought, maybe. But now I got to say, it would seem like we are in revelations.
Well, look at this. Even if you don't consider like the Bible itself, but you look at politics, and you'll see that we have a president that's a lame duck president at the moment, and everybody thinks he's going to be ousted in a normal election. But what he's going to do or have to do, I think, is pull a rabbit out of the hat to have a swing vote to him. And what would happen if this lame duck president suddenly was the one that made contact official with the quote-unquote aliens and brought peace to the earth by bringing them? Not only would he win the election without even having to have one, he would win world support on the world stage. He could become the fair-haired boy of the New World Order's government, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could. Absolutely.
And I think he's going to have to do something pretty miraculous to pull the votes to him. And if it's not that way, he may cause some other thing like a false flag event so that in a time of a national crisis where, we just have to cancel elections for a little while, he'll take absolute power and there won't be an election. And if there is an election and the votes are being counted in Spain, who's going to know whether the votes are being counted correctly anyway?
Oh, I know it. I mean, what a farce. And they're doing it blatantly right in everyone's face now. And it just seems like, people talk about it, but it doesn't seem like anybody has come up with solutions. And nobody knows what to do. Nobody is really, they're in their little bubbles. And it's just, as long as it don't affect me. And I just can't believe it. I never thought that I would see things get this out of line. Once I learned the truth, there was just no going back. And it just seems like it gets worse and worse and worse.
I know. I just can't believe that people aren't breaking out of that bubble, and seeing what's happening around them. They're just in denial.
Yeah, they truly are. Stan, I want to take a call. We've got a couple calls here, so we'll take those.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then we'll get back to conversation. But we've got Tony in Arizona. Tony, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me. Hello, Stan. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm fine.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the solar activity that's been happening. Literally the last few days, including today, and maybe you could clear a few questions up for me. I understand that there are different classes of solar flares that are happening. I'm actually looking at the page where I got a lot of my information off, and there's one called AR-1515, which is considered an M class. Now, this is estimated that it's possible to come through and come in contact with us within the next 24 hours. Are you aware of anything of that sort, or with the solar flares?
Yeah, and actually an M-class flare isn't normally something to get excited about. An X-class, up in the top 40 or 50 or better range, that's something to get worried about normally. But they're finding that M-class flares are releasing more energy than they ever did before. So the flare is letting more radiation escape than it did before, and it hits us.
The X-class are the ones that we have to worry about.
Well, normally, but the M-classes aren't being too weak, let me tell you. If they go X-classes with the sun behaving like it is now, then I would really be concerned if it's aimed in our direction.
Okay, another question. I understand it's the way it was explained to me. I don't know if it's the stratosphere, atmosphere, but we have a large hole. The best way it was explained to me is like, Scotty, our shields are up. Our shields aren't down, but we have like a 200-mile gap of unprotected, like I said, I don't know if it's stratosphere or atmosphere.
You mean the ozone?
Hole. I'm sorry?
The ozone layer?
I don't know if it's is it the ozone, but that we're vulnerable to meteors and such, you know, if they would get inside that hole.
Well, the radiation going through that hole you're talking about, the hole I think that you're talking about is called the South Atlantic Anomaly, and it's between Africa and South America.
Yes, that sounds very familiar.
All right, well, that hole does widen from time to time as far north as, you know, Central America or even, you know, possibly further. But the core of it is several hundred miles in diameter, and our astronauts won't fly through that. Our space station doesn't like to fly through it because the radiation levels that get through our shield in that area are lethal. Now, I've had calls a few years back when that hole started to expand, and it expanded over some islands on the northeast side of South America. And they were calling in while it was happening and saying, look, our children are getting nauseous at school and disoriented. We're taking them to doctors. They've got sunburn. It feels like needles sticking in their skin. And some of the adults are getting nauseous and disoriented. Have you got any idea what it might be? And it was the edge of the South Atlantic Anomaly had expanded far enough that the almost edge of it was causing those things to happen to the children and the adults on those islands. So you can imagine if the hole itself passed over them, they would die, and so would a lot of life underneath it. Now, that anomaly is probably going to widen as the Earth's magnetic field weakens. So it is a real thing you're talking about, and it is worse than an ozone layer hole. It is worse.
Okay. It's worse than the ozone layer. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Have you heard of any? Because it's just been... I'm just starting to get into the solar flare activity because it's very
important.
It's happening. it's very important, but it's also a lot has started on the 3rd of July and is continuing. And according to the source that I've been referring to, is that it says that to be prepared that the cloud will reach Earth on July 7th. High altitude skywatches should be alert for auroras. They should be alert for auroras on that date.
Well, I think that's probably in keeping with the normal activity when a solar flare or a coronal mass ejection hits us. It takes between 2 and 3 days normally for something like that to hit the Earth after we see the light of it as it's emitted. These proton storms follow much slower than the speed of light, but we can see auroral things. I don't know how far down on the northern latitudes it would reach or be seen, but yes, right. You have to also worry about these things causing shorts in the electric power grid along the power lines.
Yes,
that can bring the power down. It can start fires that bring the power lines down and just cause wildfires. And with the drought we've been having in the West here, I certainly wouldn't want any more sparks at the moment. We've got over 50 forest fires going here.
Right.
So it's
now is that something that could wipe out the magnetosphere? I mean, or the electrical grid?
It could certainly affect the electrical grid because when we get a solar storm, we have sunspot like solar wind that's fairly constant, all the time. But when we get an addition input from the sun, from these flares or coronal mass ejections, if they're aimed in our direction and they hit our field, they go into the Earth inside of it through the north and south pole when they hit. And energy from that hit is then redistributed on the planet as hot spots in the oceans or under land very rapidly within 24 hours. And also arcs and sparks and storms are, quite well attended to that. So, I'm concerned about it, and as I was saying to Michael earlier in the show, one of my fairly close inside sources has said that to expect a major solar event that will affect Earth between now and October. And I said, well, kind of more toward October or what? And he said, from now till October. That's all you get to know. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because and also they talk about spotless days and everything. And sunspot days, and so far in 2012 we haven't had any. They said there was only two recorded last year that were of any significance, and so I'm assuming that the ones that are going on now are going to be the first for 2012, and then beginning now up until October, where I guess we should see a significant increase in events, correct?
Well, if you mean sunspots, I'm not sure that they will be as numerous. I'm looking more at coronal mass ejections. What is happening underneath the sun is there are long filaments of magnetic loops that flip-flop, like fish in the sea. And right now, for some reason, these flip-flops are not always making a sunspot. They are making a coronal hole, or they're throwing off an ejection off the sun. Our nuclear physicists, our solar physicists, are all kind of in the amateur and in the commercial section, not with the government, are saying
right.
We don't understand the physical chemistry, or you know, the equation for the sun like we thought we did. It's emitting frequencies right. in the ultraviolet ranges that we've never seen before. Something is happening. So it's unusual, and they are worried. And there might be a lot more detailed information available if you could crack the secrecy, you know, at NASA or NOAA or somebody, whoever's holding it back. But, you know.
Right. Yeah, I just thought this was an interesting topic for myself to keep researching on. So everything that I'm reading is actually true as far as what's going on. That started just the other day on the 2nd or the 3rd, and it's going to be continuing in the near future up until, what did you say, October?
Well, you know,
I just wanted justification on, yeah, go ahead and keep following this because it's going to be interesting and it could be very relevant.
Well, you know, I would encourage you to do that because in the last month, maybe 6 weeks, there has been an event where a magnetic flare hit our magnetic field and absolutely bounced around to the backside of the planet, something we've never seen before. And the supercomputers that were monitoring in Japan were shut down. You know, the program was shut down and you couldn't reach anybody. The images that were shown over here in the United States were suddenly disappeared. But fortunately, some of our guys monitor this, captured the images so you can see it. And something really bizarre happened, but then all the reporting stopped. You know, we could no longer access this data as public information. So something is going on.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted confirmation that I picked a good subject because I was really fascinated from what I was reading on. I was talking to Michael about it earlier, and I'd like to, you know, start up a conversation and keep people informed on what's going on. And in a way, it seems it's going to be on a daily basis as far as what's going on. I know there's other. I mean, there's a lot of other areas that I'm also, you know, interested in. Just, you know, just like Michael and what the program does here. But for some reason, this jumped out at me, and I thought, I think I'm going to focus on this and keep people informed on what's going on with that. And it was pretty interesting. And I'm glad I got your input, and that helps me make my decision that, yeah, I'm going to follow this a little closer.
I encourage that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tony, for the call and the questions. And, hey, if you want, you can start a group over there on latenightinthemidlands.com and keep people updated on what you find out. See, I get a lot of emails, Stan, about solar activity and what the sun's doing. People want answers, and I'm no expert. I'm just a radio show host, and I try to get the people who have the information on the program to share with the listeners. And so, you know, we know what we know. I mean, we, you know, anybody can research this stuff and see what's going on, but it takes somebody like Stan Deo, who actually has sources. And, you know, so that's why we appreciate what you do, Stan. We really do. We've got to take a break, my friend. So hang on with us. It's a short break. And right after this break, we'll get to Debbie in California and Barry in California and any other calls, 858-683-1309. You got to press 1 so we know you want to get on. My guest, Stan Deo. I'm Michael Vera. This is Late Night in the Midlands, and we'll be right back. Is it possible to read a person's thoughts? Can we implant thoughts also? Is there evidence of the existence of God? Does USGS records show increases in earthquakes due to nuclear testing? Author Jose Collazo says yes, and he has the proof in his 3 books titled America's New Slavery, FMRI Technology, America's New Slavery Behind the Scenes and Update, God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and much more. Researched under the Freedom of Information Act and other sources, Jose Collazo has the proof to most of his claims and is investigating others. You can get copies of his books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or www.xlibris.com. That's www.xlibris.com. Or you can click the book banner on the main page right next to the chat room on www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Get your copy now. Are you looking for ways to get your business or website noticed? In these tough times, are you looking for ways to increase sales? Well, you're in luck. Late Night in the Midlands is a great way to get your message to the masses without spending all your hard-earned dollars. We offer affordable packages for on-air runs and make it easy for you to purchase ad space on the website. If it is just a banner ad placement you're looking for, go to www.latenightinthemidlands.com and on the right-hand side under the player, you will see your options. Select your option and email your banner to us at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com and we can have you being seen by thousands upon thousands around the world who visit the Late Night in the Midlands website. Or, if it's an on-air run you're interested in, then contact me at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com and let's work out a deal you can afford and start letting us help you be noticed. Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera. The call-in number is 858-683-1309. We now return to the program. And return we have. Again, 858-683-1309. You got to press 1 so we know you want to get on. And feel free to call in by Skype. I'm Michael Vera. This is Late Night in the Midlands. My guest, Stan Deo. Again, we've got him linked up over at latenightinthemidlands.com. Feel free to go ahead and click that link. Check out his website. He's got tons of information on his website. You could spend months there researching and reading. So, Stan, let's get back to it. I want to take a couple more calls here, and then we'll go back into – I want to talk about Fukushima in a little while here as well. But let's get Debbie in California. Debbie, you're on Late Night in the Midlands.
Hey, hi. I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, I want to say that I'm with you 110 on this whole alien agenda thing being a demonic, satanic ploy to try to suck people into believing some benevolent creatures from some other star system is going to come and save us from ourselves. Because there's a lot of nasty ones out there, too, and they, you know, Satan can't appear as an angel of light. But what I have is two specific questions, one regarding the chemtrails, if you have information on that. The aluminum that they're using is supposed to be to reflect the magnetic fields back out of our stratosphere. And I'm wondering, you know, I follow the conspiracy theories regarding the chemtrails and the high toxic levels in the soils and so forth. But my question is, if it is doing anything to help refract the damage from the sun, or is it creating an oven here on the ground? And then the other question I have is, regarding aliens, do you have any information on the stories behind the nuclear silos and test missiles that have been disarmed or shut down?
Well, on your second question first, my answer is no, I don't have information on that. I've heard the rumors, but I don't have any hard information on how many have been disarmed or shut down. However, knowing the administration and its propensity to sink America, I would say that they've probably done a lot of them, just my opinion. Now, the other thing about the chemtrails, if we live out here in Colorado right next to NORAD and to several Air Force bases and Army bases, we see them chemtrail a perfect sky at times. You come out in the morning and think, wow, what a beautiful, you know, blue sky here in sunny Colorado. And suddenly, oh, yeah, there's one, there's another. And after a while, you've got crisscross lines of chemtrails all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've read the same things about what Teller tried to patent or did patent on the aluminum particles to reflect the solar light and energy back out into space. And that sounds to me to be a fairly good idea. It might also be that they are trying to cause cloud formations to make enemies, whoever they are, their satellites, unable to see certain movements of something on the ground. It could be tactical as opposed and possibly strategic as opposed to something to reflect the sun. However,
mm-hmm.
with the knowledge that they have about and have been gaining since 1992 about the change in the sun's output frequencies and energy, it might be that they've been trying to figure out a way to hold off the effects as long as they could to get underground bases and things ready to have certain parts of humanity survive, which
mm-hmm.
is my wild guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because then I've read some articles about the toxic levels around Mount Shasta. I'm in California. And they had a whole team of scientists up there doing all kinds of surveys and tests and discovered that insect life is down. Natural life has been affected by it, plant life. And this little girl, they took a hair sample, a little two-year-old girl who's on a total natural organic program, you know, no tap water, nothing. I mean, no immunizations. This family's just really religious about, you know, the natural remedies and everything. And she had chemical reports come back that she was at lethal toxic levels in her hair, and they live at a higher elevation. So, I mean, this is stuff that...
Toxic levels of what?
Aluminum.
Oh, okay. All right, go on.
So the question that the scientists were posing was that, you know, if this is indeed to help protect our atmosphere from you know, the sun gone mad, then is it at the expense of our health, and what are the long-term effects? I mean, there's a lot of things to take into consideration, and I'm kind of like been spinning the last year with so much information that I finally had to slow down and stop and just take a rest and ask God to start bringing in people who are like-minded with solid truths. So, and I just happened to get on this We the People website and joined their forum tonight and picked up your call on the show here for the first time. I didn't even know you guys existed. So thank you for being there.
Well, I appreciate it. All right. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else or will that do you?
That'll do it for now. I'll let the other person who's waiting have their say. Thank you.
Debbie,
all right.
Debbie?
Yes.
She gone, is she?
I'm here.
She's here.
Okay. Debbie, stand here again. The thing about the people's health suffering might have been a toss-up by saying some people would be more receptive to the aluminum poisoning than others, but for the good of the country, you know, or the vast majority of the planet, because chemtrails are seen in other countries, maybe they're saying we'll take those as acceptable losses while we try to protect the infrastructure and food chain, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, but that would be my only guess about that. I don't think they're doing it to eliminate people at the moment. The sun is going to do that anyway.
Yeah. You expect this solar storm that you've been talking about to hit this year between now and October?
It's very possible. I'm seeing behavior on the sun and in the solar wind that does seem very erratic. And as soon as I get more information that I feel I can trust, I put it on our website. Holly puts it up, the news up there every day. So if you'll
watch, can I have the name of your website, please?
Yeah, it's standeo.com. That's STANDEYO.com. And I think if you go there and just read the stories and the links that Holly puts up every day, they're
uh-huh.
pertinent news from a Christian perspective. I think that it will, you know, kind of ease your tension a bit and help you perhaps even find other people like yourself.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Okay,
thank you very much, Debbie, and I appreciate you listening. Absolutely. All right, let's take Barry in California. Barry, welcome to Late Night in the Midlands, my friend.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Doing fine. How are you?
Doing great. And shalom, Brother Stan.
Shalom, Barry. Where are you again, in California?
Yeah, we talked a couple days ago with Kathy.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to promote anything. I just want to let you know who I am. And I didn't get a chance to ask you this question. I have a Messianic friend that's a missionary. He goes between Chile and Argentina. He's on the southernmost part, so he gets to see penguins every day, if you know what I mean.
Oh, wow.
And he said he sent you a letter a long time ago, and he wanted me to give you this message. He said that you used to preach to leave Babylon, which is the U.S., but after you had that bad experience in Australia, they went back to the U.S. and discouraged people from leaving. And then they invited a preacher that said that the people did not really need to leave the U.S. Babylon, because when Persia invaded Babylon, he's talking about in the Old Testament, people were not killed. The prophecy is completely wrong. The U.S. is the second Germany for believers and Jews. And the Hebrew prophet Jeremiah 51 told us long ago to leave the nation. It will be the most difficult place to be in the tribulation. I have studied this for many years. All the tech that they have and they will use against the people look like they just approved the new healthcare law, and that they will put a chip in every person beginning in 2013. While in the third world countries, this tech will arrive years later, and there are more chances down here. That's why I was sent down here. The signs are all over the place. Look at Denver Airport. Has the shape of a swastika. The sea camps are all over the place. Oh, the chip is coming. Besides chemtrails, thousands of experiments that they're doing, GMO foods, vaccines, weather modification, etc., etc. Jeremiah 51 teaches clearly to leave the Babylon of the last days, and we have a few clues to discover who is this Babylon. The woman by the waters is New York Statue of Liberty. The world power is the U.S. The world economic power, also the U.S., has the biggest Jewish population in the U.S. The Second World War, they set up the U.S. as the new power to do exactly what Germany did 70 years ago. He wants to hear what you have to say about what he just said.
Well, that's a lot, but I do agree, number one, that America and Great Britain together are the modern economic Babylon. I also agree that there's going to be terrible destruction in Babylon, as the Book of Revelation says, that, you know, it's going to be destroyed by fire in an hour. It's going to, in other words, a very quick time, it's going to go down. And a number of Christian American prophets and some, like Dimitri Dudeman from Europe, have said that they have seen visions from the Lord that show America burning. Now, the things that they're going to impose on the world as far as the chipping and whatever, and the United States, will come when the world economy collapses. But I think what's going to happen here in the United States is that we're going to have so many things that go down at the same time, like civil disobedience, civil war, economic collapse, riots, that America is going to collapse under its own internal problems into terrible warfare between people, ethnic groups and religious groups and whatever. I would not choose to be here myself, but Holly and I know that living out of the country as an American, when America falls, you'll be fair game. And that's why she wrote that article. We talked about it at length. Americans escaping here will have to be led by the Lord to where they got to be. We were led by Dream Vision to leave Australia and come to this exact spot that I'm sitting in right now to giving this show by Dream Vision. Now, that doesn't mean it's the safest place. That just means that's where the good Lord wants Holly and I for what's coming. When you pull out of the system, the economic system, when you're able to just go walk about, you know, with what you got on your back or in your car or your trailer or whatever, you are pulling away from the system and you're getting out of the Babylonian economic system, because you're going to be on your own, you know, with what you can carry or what you've hidden away somewhere. You won't be able to own property that you pay taxes on or have money in the bank, any of that kind of stuff. You'll have what you've got in goods, and that's it. So you can withdraw, I think, from Babylon by getting out of the Babylonian system. However, it would be nice, I'm sure, if we could be to some safe place off the continental United States. But even there, whatever you have with you will be gone, because the whole world is going to go to that new economic system, that numbering system, when the world economy collapses. And if you've got anything, with you that you've taken, it's going to be fair game to the people in the country where you are, because I think Americans caused all the trouble in the world.
Well, then my question is this, Dan. It's always good to plan ahead as much as possible, I mean, within means. And you can't live without water and then food, of course, after that. Do you recommend, like, where I live in the high desert in California.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with north of San Bernardino.
Right.
We live close to the San Andreas Fault. The San Andreas Fault has not hit a big one in 135 years. Is there a chance of that hitting soon, possibly? Or with earthquakes hitting other earthquakes and it just starts a multi-effect in California or other states?
Well, look, there's an area on the northwest coast of the United States up near Oregon and Washington's borders in the Juan de Fuca Plate area, and that one is over a Richter 9, overdue at least 57 years. Now, all the other areas on the arc of fire around the Pacific that were under that kind of stress, and also in Indonesia, have released. Now, this one is the only one that hadn't released. The pressure has been building up, and it's getting bigger by the day. If that goes, there are connectors that will take it straight down through Eureka and the Cascades, there's the fault line of the Cascadia, and that will then probably trigger the San Andreas and the numerous little faults that tie into it. If you're asking me, would I live in California or Oregon or Washington, I'd say definitely not, unless the good Lord told me by dream vision very positively, go there. Because what I've been shown in dream visions and what I've studied in the geological structure and the sociological structure with the illegals and things like that, I wouldn't want to be anywhere west of the Rocky Mountains. That's just my opinion.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot to think about. And then I have one more question. I don't hear about this anymore, black holes in space.
What about them?
What is actually a black hole? I mean...
Well, now you're asking the $64 question of astronomical physics. Stephen Hawking has revised his own opinions of them and the description of them in the recent years. And he's considered to be the leading light in that. But what I think is happening is that we're having energy in these black holes is sucked into them from their extremely high rate of spin and their huge gravitational field. And the energy is periodically released to the north and south pole of that spin. And it comes out as gamma radiation of the burst of extremely high frequency radiation they've just recently measured to say black holes don't suck in energy and then keep it. They suck it in and then they release it in periodic bursts through the polar regions. At the center of every galaxy, it is fairly well established that there is a supermassive black hole. Even in the Milky Way, our supermassive black hole is opening its poles and starting to punch out energy in the north and south poles of our galaxy. A black hole can be smaller, in its own area start gobbling up stuff. But, black holes, they think they float through space, some of them, without being at the center of a galaxy. These are small black holes, not supermassive. And they will collect energy around them, and possibly when they discharge to their polar spin regions, they will disappear. I mean, they collect the energy, and then they burst the energy out, and it's possible they could overshoot and then disappear. But there's still a lot of mystery surrounding black holes. And I hope to address that in my gravitational paper, which does illustrate how the spin forms this very concentrated gravitational mass at the center of it, which becomes a black hole collecting all light, visible light anyway, and a lot of other mass into it, but then re-emitting it out through the poles. It's just a kind of a garbage, recycling system that takes garbage, electromagnetic radiation, and mass, and sometimes real star systems when it gets big enough, and sucks them in and recycles them into other kinds of energy.
So this sun, the heat up of the sun on the Earth, there's no warning at all where we can, okay, it's coming, it's just going to happen, or do we, get into a cave, but I mean, like a hurricane, we know when it's going to hit surface. The way that the technology is today, But what you're talking about is something that's just going to happen like real quick, and it's going to last for the last couple of days to a couple of weeks. I mean, what kind of warning? I mean, I know that you look at it and keep an eye on it possibly coming, but is there any way knowing exactly when it's going to come?
Well, to a degree, we have to depend on the information that NOAA, JPL, NASA, various astronomical observatories release to us on their public websites. On the other hand, when it starts to get up over 120 degrees in places it's never reached that before, like here, then if you hear reports of the sun being irregular or any kind of official kind of small announcements about the sun's behavior, then I'd start to worry, because at 120 degrees, you're nearly dying just up on top of the ground. With humidity, you almost are. In the Middle East, where our soldiers have served over in Iraq and other places in the Middle East and in the desert, they've got up to 140 degree temperatures in the daytime, and they have to live inside these cargo containers, sea containers, and they have air conditioning in there that will bring the temperature down maybe 25 to 30 degrees from outside temperature, but you're still sweating inside those things.
Wow.
So if you're over here in 120 degrees without air conditioning or whatever, you'll know that things aren't right. And look at the drought spreading across the United States. We've got record temperatures in hundreds of cities right now for this time of year. And as we move into July, August, if the temperatures continue to break records during a normal hot summer months, I'd say that that's telling us things are not right on the sun. It's not human activity and cow gas and all this kind of stuff causing this global warming. This is planetary heating on a solar system scale. Other planets are heating up too. Other planets' poles are starting to be brighter in the temperature range. So I think that if you just keep your ears open and visit our website, anything that we get a sniff of, Holly puts up there, as long as we can verify that it's reasonably accurate data. So if
okay.
You go to NASA.com and just check the news every day, if there's something that we can share, it will be there.
All right. Well, Barry, thank you very much for the call and the great questions. I do appreciate it. And we're going to take another call, and then we got a break coming up here in about 10 minutes. We've got Riscala in Florida. Welcome aboard, Riscala.
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Hello, Stan. I'm sorry.
Hello, Riscala.
I was listening to part of what you were saying earlier, and then I had a call I had to take, and I came back. So I apologize if you have touched on this or not. So forgive me ahead of time if this is being redundant. I've been reading some articles regarding the sun, and one of the articles had a picture that was taken with, I think it was an infrared or some type of lens. And in the process of taking that, it showed that there was an area on the sun rather large that they believe that to be some type of a wormhole or almost like a stargate. Somewhere that is UFOs are coming in and out of that area, and they believe that that may be one of the ways that they're able to get from one universe to the next, or one galaxy to the next. You know anything about that?
But where is that supposed to be located?
I wish I could remember where I saw this. It was an article regarding the sun, and in this article there was a picture of the sun taken with some kind of a lens. And this lens showed that there was a dark spot on the sun. And there was a theory brought forward that they believed that there were UFOs coming in and out of the sun, and that they thought that the sun could be a gateway, and that's how these UFOs are going from a universe to another universe, or from one particular dimension to another.
Well, you know, this is not as crazy as you might think. I agree that the stars and the planets and the moons have layers within them, and void spaces as well as very concentrated cores. Normally, the very hot portions are in the inner core of whether it be a star or a galaxy or whatever. But there is a zone of cooler temperatures which exists between the core of a star or a planet and its surface, at least one zone, maybe more. Now, I choose to think that links to parallel universes are really links to what I call concentric universes, where they are concentric around masses that exist in our world, and therefore you would gate in between the universes through these masses, whether it be the center of a planet or a star or whatever. Now, whether they come out of the sun, you know, with a gate in there, I don't know. It doesn't terribly bother me about that because of the theory that I've been working on. In fact, get this, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, the flaming chariot in Ezekiel, which is, you know, flaming. It was hot coming down and had to cool off. And that meant it came from a hotter place, and it came out of the sky. Now, did it drop into the Earth's atmosphere after coming through the sun? I don't know. When God was talking to Moses on Mount, Ararat, the mountain of God in the Middle East there, when he was talking to him, he said, look, let me put you on this cliff here and behind, like protected by the rocks of this mountain, so that my energy won't destroy you, and I'll put a picture of myself or a shadow on this cloud so that you can look at that reflection on the cloud and see what I look like, but I can't let you look at me directly because my energy will destroy you. That's hot. I mean, you know, even the pillar of smoke and fire that went before Israel for the 40 years in the desert while they were in the Sinai, that was hot. And I suspect that where God's universe is, or where he lives at the second or third level up there, I guess the third level as far as we can see, that universe, the atoms of it are so energetic that if they're suddenly thrust into our level, that they would burn us. And so beings of that much energy could probably skate through a hot sun in our universe and not be bothered by it. Is that kind
amazing.
Of...
Yes. Amazing. Okay, one more question for you, real quick. This is more on the energy, free energy line. In your, I know you were, you talked earlier about the anti-gravity experiments that you were doing. Did you run into any free energy devices?
Yeah, that was one of the things where we had a great parting of the ways. A little thing about the size of a window air conditioner unit could generate heaps of power by pulling it out of the atmosphere with an antenna.
Right. Right.
Now, I think it was a box similar to what Dr. T. Henry Murray did,
where he
was getting energy out of the solar wind and converted it to electricity. But there was another kind, which was a small unit like that would power craft, and I think it was a thermionic device, which meant that it could convert heat energy into electricity directly from bombardment of a particular mass with, say, neutrons or electrons. I'm not sure what they were bombarding it with. But it would strip mine energy in an orderly fashion so that you didn't have nuclear fission taking place, but you were taking the outer layers or the outer shells of certain types of atoms and taking the energy out of them, closing those shells down in an orderly fashion, like a harmonic energy extraction. And the word heat, harmonic energy extraction device, was bandied around. So there are two types of ways to get energy. And if you take heat energy in the infrared band, you'll find that most atoms, in our universe anyway, exchange energy between themselves when they're dying or spinning or vibrating in the infrared bands. And if you could take that infrared band energy that's going between atoms anyway and convert that waveform to electricity, you would actually cool your environment and produce electricity at the same time. So you'd have an air conditioner that produces your power.
Wow.
How does that sound?
Wow. I live in Florida. Tell me about it.
Sign me up, he said.
Well, any of these technologies that you're aware of, any chance that they're going to be coming to fruition without these nasties coming down and continuing to suppress?
Say that again?
I'm trying to find out, in your opinion, if you believe any of these technologies are going to come out without being... We know that most of us know that what's going on is this has been suppressed, this technology's been suppressed, and I guess my question is, in your opinion, do you see any of this being coming out to the public anytime soon?
Difficult question to answer because for private release of that kind of information, the people doing it probably wouldn't want to say much about it until it's there, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
And there are people working on things like this. We've heard from them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be something that you commercialize and sell. it would be information and how to do it that would arrive on the internet or by word of mouth or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are people that want that information out, but it's just difficult to get it out.
Yeah, I know. Boy, do I know. Oh, gosh. Well, Stan, thank you. And Michael, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you very much, Rascola. I appreciate the call. And all right, everybody. And Stan, we're going to take our break here. It's top
right.
of the hour. So we'll get this break out of the way. We'll come back. And I got some questions for Stan. And then we'll go back to some phone calls. 858-683-1309. Press 1 so I know you want to get on the air. And we will be back in a few minutes, everyone. Tonight's podcast is sponsored by Five Star Shine, www.5starshine.com. Never wax your car again. NASA technology eliminates waxing forever and keeps your car incredibly clean. www.5starshine.com.
Are you ready for more than just a job that barely makes ends meet? Have you ever considered a home-based business where your earning potential is limitless? Where you decide how much you want to make for you and your family? Where you can be part of one of the most explosive and upcoming industries in the world? Be a part of a company that is poised and ready to explode into 24 countries in the near future. We're looking for leaders to help others with their health, wealth, and purpose. How about being a part of a community of people who want to bring awareness and change lives with health, wealth, and purpose? For more information, please call toll-free 888-598-3030. Working together, we can bring dreams, purpose, and happiness for all mankind. To learn how you can get started working with our exciting team now, call 888-598-3030. That number again is 888-598-3030. Or click the home business link at project.nsearch.com, latenightinthemidlands.com, or our new social network site, nsearch.com.
NSearch is calling on good people around the world to spread the truth about things such as God, free energy, natural cures, or anything else that can help humanity in these dark days. No one can stop us when we work as a team to spread the truth, and that's why we created Team NSearch. Right now, we need people to post and share information on social network at nsearch.com and project.nsearch.com. We could also use some dependable people handing out our business cards and flyers whenever they can. If you'd like to help NSearch in any way, contact Glenn Kennedy on his website at www.project.nsearch.com. We also encourage as many of you as possible to add us to Skype ID team.nsearch so we can quickly reach you that way also. You can get access to electronic versions of our flyers and business cards by going to the Help menu option at nsearch.com. Print them out on your own computer, or use them on vistaprint.com to print your own. You can also purchase a box of our business cards through our Help page on nsearch. We highly encourage our listeners to get the free Skype program and add us through Skype ID team.nsearch. This is the most reliable way we can reach you. Join Team NSearch, spreading the truth around the world today, and may God bless all your efforts.
Is it possible to read a person's thoughts? Can we implant thoughts also? Is there evidence of the existence of God? Does USGS records show increases in earthquakes due to nuclear testing? Author Jose Collazo says yes, and he has the proof in his three books titled America's New Slavery, FMRI Technology, America's New Slavery Behind the Scenes and Update, God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and much more. Researched under the Freedom of Information Act and other sources, Jose Collazo has the proof to most of his claims and is investigating others. You can get copies of his books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or www.xlibris.com. That's www.xlibris.com, or you can click the book banner on the main page right next to the chat room on www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Get your copy now. Are you looking?
Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera. The call-in number is 858-683-1309. We now return to the program. Okay, we are back. This is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera. My guest is Stan Dale, and the call-in number is 858-683-1309. And you can call in. We'll get back to phone calls in just a moment, so hang tight there on the phone lines. The website, www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Go on over, become a member, be informed, and inform others. That's all I ask. Please, inform others. And project.nsearch.com, that's Glenn Kennedy's website as well. And, you know, I know a few of you had messaged me and says it's a little hard to hear the guest. And, you know, he's adjusted all he can. So I turned up my volume so I can hear better. So it's probably what you'll have to do if you're having a problem. Now, I have others who say they can hear just fine. So, you know, it is what it is, folks. So let's get back to it here with guest Stan Dale. And Stan, let me ask you this. Fukushima, what are your sources telling you about that? It's my understanding that this could be catastrophic.
Well, can you hear me now?
It's a little lower now, a little low.
Lower. All right. Well, that's as loud as I can get it. I'm going to try something else here. Just give me a second.
Okay. Not a problem.
How about that?
That is better. That is better.
All right. Well.
Okay.
The Fukushima thing is not over. If they have another major earthquake there, I'm sure that there's one reactor there that could dump a lot of junk, you know, radiation into the sea. Reactor number four. The strange thing that, you know, we found that China is building cities in Africa and various places in the kind of unsettled regions, the outback, if you wish, of China. And these cities are like tall, high-rise buildings and things like that, and there's nobody in them. They're calling them ghost cities. And some of them, people have guessed or surmised that perhaps what they're going to do in China is make those cities available to people in Japan when they have to evacuate, because the long-term feel is that most of Japan is going to be polluted with radiation before this whole episode is finished, and will have to leave the islands. I have heard rumors that there was some thought of bringing some of the Japanese in the United States as well. So, yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those empty cities are being made for somebody to occupy, and then they really look nice. We've seen photos of them today, but, you know, that's my opinion. That's not over, and it's certainly going to pollute a lot of food, seafood, and the air, and all around the planet, not just on the West Coast of the United States or within the United States. It's going elsewhere, I'm sure.
Right. You know, and there's some who think that it was not an accident, that it wasn't, you know, that it was more or less a planned incident, this earthquake on Japan and Fukushima getting out of control as it has. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm afraid I won't buy into that. I think it was a natural event. It was poor planning of putting the reactor close to fault line. That definitely could have been planned by somebody hoping for the long-term event. But I don't think that we can predict major earthquakes that far ahead. And the designs were, I think, for the reactors were U.S.-made designs that we've tried elsewhere. So I don't know that I really buy into the conspiracy theory on that. I just think it was the luck of the draw, and a very bad draw it was for them.
Yeah, you know, I kind of tend to bend that way myself, too. I've heard, you know, a lot of people have come to me or sent me messages and said, oh, no, it was planned, it was, you know, but I don't know. I'm one, I like to see evidence on that. I mean, I'll listen to the theories, I'll consider them, but I like to see, you know, some kind of proof on something like that. Yeah, because, I mean, this is an event that, you know, could wipe out a lot. The fake news is just totally blacking it out.
I've called several of the news outlets and asked them why they're not covering this more, why they're not telling people the truth. And, you know, I pretty much basically get laughed at and told, well, you need to call the producer or this or that. And, of course, they won't connect you to any of these people. They want you to email them so they could just delete you. So, you know, I've tried to find out why they're not covering this, why they're not letting people know. I mean, you know, Fox News, they went out and told, well, a woman there told everybody, hey, you know, the radiation's good for you. Go out and shower in it. A little radiation will do you good. And I disagree. So now I guess my question is now, what can people do, if anything, to keep their water and their food radioactive free? Is there anything that could be done?
Well, I don't know so much about the food. You can certainly get there are a number of meters you can buy online for $300 or $400 that will tell you the radiation levels of your food. I envision people in radiation suits doing their shopping at Kmart or something, or Safeway, you know, going in their radiation thing over the counter to see whether the meat's good or this or that, as a joke, I guess. But seriously, you can do that. And as far as the water, if you're worried about your water supply and milk and things like that, you can certainly test those. But for water itself, we found that there's at least one filter that Berkey water filter made by New Millennium Concepts, and they'll remove about 95% of the radioactivity, so maybe even 98% in some cases, but you can look on their website at berkeywater.com. That would help a lot. It'll take out some of the large particulates, and that's what you got to worry about, because the half-life of this stuff is fairly long, but if you don't have you know, a lot of it, like you have microparticles of it in your water or water molecules themselves, that amount will disappear in, you know, a few weeks to years, depending on the type of radiation you're seeing emitted. But particles themselves, if you let those, if you ingest those in water or in the air, those can stay with you for a long time, many, many years, and can cause, you know, cancer eventually. So you can test for it, and you can filter it out of your water. And I think Holly has found some things on our website. You have to look it up on our search engine for water filters and that filter out radiation. And we haven't tried any except the Berkey ourselves. So that's the only one that I can say, you know, this is good. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to the phones here. We'll take another call, and then we'll discuss some other areas here. We got Jeff in Florida. Jeff, you're on Late Night in the Midlands.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I had a question for your guest. I wanted to know a little bit about some of his opinions on some of the UFO technology and everything. And I wanted to get his thoughts on some of the stuff I've heard is that pretty much the alien technology and everything that we're basically it's just a matter of time before there ends up being an invasion as far as aliens coming down and trying to take over. My question is, though, is that I guess what is your opinion with other creatures such as Bigfoot, if you will, as far as being able to help out the human side and protect our planet?
Are you saying, do I think that Bigfoot is going to be helping us against the invasion?
Yes.
I don't think that's going to be an issue. As I've said earlier in the program, the alleged alien invasion is really of biblical proportions, and it's of, first of all, the grays that people talk about when they're abducted. Those are manufactured biological robots or androids made by people that the Bible says came with the fallen one, Satan. They're here, and they look a lot like humans, very much like us, and they're taller. And their skin is very iridescent in the sunlight, like little rainbows in it, like an oil film on top of water. And we think that's probably
similar to like the reptilian lizard men, like David Icke talks about.
Possibly, yeah. And these beings are going to come and allegedly save Earth from these these critters that they've actually created themselves, these gray critters. And,
right.
You know, Bigfoot, I don't think there are enough Bigfoot things around inside the earth or otherwise to put these people off, so I wouldn't count on that. I think that the Great Deception will take over.
I guess then would the best thing to do would it be to buy gold and silver?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that you'll find that the things that gold and silver buy would be more precious, like water and food and medicine. In some cases,
right.
Ammunition.
Your bullets and beans, right?
That's if you're not going to be able to fight them. That's only for your own provision. Their technology is so far ahead of us that it's like tens of thousands of years ahead of us. I can't even imagine some of it that we haven't seen what it would do. But it's going to be a thing where, as the Bible speaks, the Messiah, or the true king of this planet, will come back and have a war with them and will defeat them in the Armageddon conflict in the Middle East. And that's at least 7, maybe 10 years away, something like that. And they, the bad guys, will be defeated by the true creator of this planet. That's our only hope. And the other hope is, and I'm one of these people who believe this, is that people who have signed on personally with Jesus Christ, accepted as Savior, will be saved away from this danger. Where it will be, whether it be in the clouds or, you know, the rapture takes you somewhere else, you will be protected from these bad dudes. I think at the beginning of the 7-year period when all this happens. If not, then in the middle of the tribulation period. But we're looking at a 7 to 10 year period from right now. And guns and bullets and stuff, like in the TV movies, it's just not going to be Satan. And technologies that alter time, you know, to the point where you can see them and run at them, and before you can even get there, see them and shoot at them. Before you can even get there, they're gone because they're operating on a much more compressed time unit. And that's a simple technology.
Right. So I guess, what would, in your opinion, is there any way that, because you said 7 to 10 year period, is there any way that someone like me can capitalize off of this and try to make some money on it? And
no, I don't think so. Not unless you want to dance with the devil. I'm serious.
Yeah. So, well, anyways, Jeff, thank you for the call. I don't know if he was getting playful there or not, but I don't think anybody's going to capitalize on it. I think that it's going to be, you know, just totally chaotic. And I don't think money's going to be an issue. It's certainly not going to be worth anything, that's for sure. So, and you're not taking it with you. And you're right, Stan, you can't eat the gold.
Absolutely.
That's right. Okay, now I wanted to get into another area here briefly. I understand that there are Russian troops who will be doing some kind of training exercise in Colorado. What do we know about that?
Oh, they've already done that. That's come and gone.
Oh, that has happened. Oh, because it was my understanding they were never going to leave. That's what I was told. They make it look like they're just here to train, but they're staying. So that's not the case.
Well, you know, who knows? I haven't seen any of them, and we go up there to eat quite frequently in the Springs, and certainly not here in Pueblo. We can see the Army base across Highway 50 from here, but Fort Carson. But well, look, if I hear, I'll let you know. But I'm not concerned about that at this point, because I think, if we have foreign troops here, which we probably do, in various bases training for various things, that they could be sleeper agents, you know, when civil disobedience takes place here. And I do think that will happen, and I do think we'll probably see Russia and China gather together to invade America when we fail from within, when we fall from within.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's just, so many people get set up to fail when they think that, you know, money and possessions, you know, like gold and silver is going to, I just don't, you know, I hear people screaming and yelling about it, get the gold, get the silver, and what good's it going to do you? Because when the system crashes, all hell's going to break loose.
you know,
so,
for a few weeks or months, they might be able to exchange gold and silver for certain
right.
goods. I mean, you know, but it won't be for long term. The goods that you want, you should have now. You should get them in ahead of time and sock them away somewhere.
Yeah, and don't go on preppers.
Oh, absolutely. No. you know, a news item just came across my computer desk here from Drudge Report. Says that the extreme heat in the United States has broken more than 3,000 heat records this week in the United States. That's a lot.
Wow. That is a lot. My God. Yeah, see, you know, and people who want to turn their head and ignore it and say, ah, no, it's nothing, they have to start taking notice of what's going on here. I mean, I have. You know, I used to think they were just great stories, but, you know, things that I was told 3-4 years ago that we'd be experiencing now, you know, it was laughable then, but it's all coming true now. So I take this very serious. And, you know, I've also had people come to me and say, well, American troops won't follow the orders and they won't shoot on their own people here. And, well, I think that the ultimate plan is to have our troops spread out everywhere else, and then the foreign troops are the ones that they'll bring in here to control us, maybe. So
sounds
that's
like
what
a plan
I
believe.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Stan, let's grab another call here. We've got Levy in South America, and I'm understanding the connection's not the greatest, so we'll do our best. Levy, you're on Late Night in the Midlands.
So, greetings, shalom, and greetings to both of you, and greetings to you, Estandio. My name is Levi. I'm in South America. And I saw that you left to Australia a few months ago, but you went back to the States. And my question is this, why did you went back to the States if Jeremiah 51 talks about escape from Babylon, who is identified as the United States because he's the world military power, and he has the biggest Jewish population. Do you see the States as Babylon or not? Please tell me, Stan.
Shalom, Levi. Yes, your friend has already called us on your behalf earlier in the program, and I did answer that. And the United States and Great Britain, I think they are the economic Babylon of this age. Now, that's why Holly and I came back. I was given a dream vision that was so sharp and, you know, demanding that it showed me exactly where we should come and be in the United States to do what we're doing. We couldn't do it from where we were in Australia anyway. So we're here for that reason. Is it a safe place to be? Well, I'd like to be somewhere off the planet today, to be honest. But, yeah, we're here simply because the dream vision showed us exactly where to be. We flew up here and found the place, and then moved our belongings up here.
Okay, Stan, and thank you very much. And I have a second question. I will share with you very briefly my vision. Back in 1944, after the Bretton Woods Convention, we know that the power was transferred from Europe to the States. And the U.S. became the world currency reserve, and a lot of Nazi officials fled to the States. And my revelation is that 70 years into the future, which is going to be in 2014, when there will be a red moon on the Passover festival of 2014, exactly 70 years from 1944, when it was the most difficult time of the Second World War, the States is going to be the second Germany. Actually, if you look at Denver Airport, it has the shape of a swastika. And I cannot talk to you for 2 hours. I know it's a radio show. But my revelation is that the States is going to be a second Germany. They have plans for a martial law very soon. They want to depopulate the country. And is that, my question is this, is that going to be a safe nation for believers in the coming years, Stan?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to say. You can withdraw from the economic Babylon by getting off the grid, getting off the system where you don't have to pay taxes. And you know, use the medical care and stuff like that. You virtually disenfranchise yourself from society, and you can still do that here in the continental United States. I certainly will not be accepting the mark or the numbering system. And, you know, beyond that, I don't know, other than the rapture of the believers, I don't know how we could be in a safer place. The whole planet is going to be in chaos.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Hassan. I have only one last question. And this question is regarding the new healthcare in 2013. A lot of people are talking that probably in 2013, the U.S. government will require from every citizen to have a microchip implant, while other countries in South America are still like a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years away from this technology. Do you think that with this science, it's still a better option to remain there, or you would encourage some people to also try to move to South America or to other countries?
I have to leave that up to the judgment of the individual people affected by such a decision in 2013, if that's what they are going to do it, in fact, when they're going to do it. The reason I say that is because maybe they will give people who don't want to accept the numbering system the option to leave the country at that time. Then maybe the good Lord will tell a bunch of us, sell up and leave. I personally rely on the good Lord to tell me and Holly through dream vision what we should be doing. It worked for what we had to do here over the last 10 or 11 years. I also know that living in foreign countries and even in South American countries, when America goes down, when it folds on itself with internal civil war, that Americans will be persecuted in other countries because they think the American CIA and all Americans, for that matter, are responsible for the world's troubles. We saw that even in friendly Australia, that they still suspected when I was down that I was a CIA agent or something, and that I was very wealthy, and that the American CIA and the American government were responsible for the ills of the world. And that may be true, but if you're out there by yourself without any American country to protect you, you're going to be fair game to those who think that you caused it. And that's why, for Americans, it will be difficult to live outside the country when it falls. And it will
fall. That's right. That's right. All right, Levy, thank you so much for your call. I do appreciate it. Stan, we're going to take our last break here. It's a short one, so hang on there with me. And we got time for a couple more calls maybe. So 858-683-1309. Press 1 so we know you want to get on the air. And you can call in using Skype. Make sure you get over to latenightinthemidlands.com, become a member, and definitely be informed and inform others. Does no good if you just keep the information in your own head and you don't share it. So please share it, no matter how crazy it may seem to you, because, you know, UFOs bursting through the sun, and that would sound crazy, wouldn't it? But, you know, I've seen some pretty interesting stuff myself, so I say anything's possible. Anything is absolutely possible. I also believe it's possible to maybe somehow have a happy ever after. But, you know, I will say this. People have been being warned about what's coming for a long, long, long time. And you've been distracted by your television sets, your fake news, your gladiator UFC guys, and your fake wrestling guys. And, you know, all that stuff has just been a total distraction. And I say, you know, if people stood up a decade, 2 decades ago, and, you know, we might not be where we are right now, but I will say this. I agree with Stan. I feel like God has put me where I'm supposed to be. If I'm supposed to be somewhere else, then God will make it possible for me to do that, to make that move. Right now, I'm about 2 hours away from the ocean, and, you know, if the ship goes down, well, this captain's going down with the ship, I guess, because this is my country. Despite how corrupt it has become, it is still my country. I still love it. Everything I know and love is here. So if that's going to be gone, then I might as well be gone with it. I'm Michael Vera. This is Late Night in the Midlands. We do cover everything, folks, and we'll be right back with Stan Dale. So hang on there with us, and I don't know, get a drink, go to the bathroom, do what you got to do. We'll be right back.
Is it possible to read a person's thoughts? Can we implant thoughts also? Is there evidence of the existence of God? Does USGS records show increases in earthquakes due to nuclear testing? Author Jose Collazo says yes, and he has the proof in his three books titled America's New Slavery, FMRI Technology, America's New Slavery Behind the Scenes and Update, God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and much more. Researched under the Freedom of Information Act and other sources, Jose Collazo has the proof to most of his claims and is investigating others. You can get copies of his books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or www.xlibris.com. That's www.xlibris.com. Or you can click the book banner on the main page right next to the chat room on www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Get your copy now. Are you looking for ways to get your business or website noticed? In these tough times, are you looking for ways to increase sales? Well, you're in luck. Late Night in the Midlands is a great way to get your message to the masses without spending all your hard-earned dollars. We offer affordable packages for on-air runs and make it easy for you to purchase ad space on the website. If it is just a banner ad placement you're looking for, go to www.latenightinthemidlands.com and on the right-hand side under the player, you will see your options. Select your option and email your banner to us at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com and we can have you being seen by thousands upon thousands around the world who visit the Late Night in the Midlands website. Or if it's an on-air run you're interested in, then contact me at latenightinthemidlands@yahoo.com and let's work out a deal you can afford and start letting us help you be noticed. There is a condition one out of every three people around the world suffer with.
RMS.
A condition that can be crippling.
RMS.
A condition that causes confusion and discomfort, rapid pounding of a fist on tables, an unwillingness to watch the fake news.
RMS.
Restless mind syndrome. You may not have heard of it, but if you are one of the millions suffering from this condition, there is now hope. You do not have to go through life not knowing what to do next or how to rid yourself of this health-bearing condition now being recognized by doctors, lawyers, and victims all over the world. The cure? LNM. Just listen to this testimonial by one of our subscribers.
I can say true to my heart that LNM worked for me. I stood up day and night confused by what the fake news has told me. I could not even take care of my family or hold a job. I couldn't even get off the couch to do anything, and I knew there was a problem. Now, since I've been on LMN, my family life is back, and I'm waking up more people than ever around the world.
Now you know what you can do to put an end to restless mind syndrome. Ask your doctor about LNM and ask if it's right for you. LNM should not be taken without a prescription. It should never be taken while on drugs like Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. You should also tell your doctor if you take Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, or Randy Rhoads serious. Side effects of LNM include waking up, spreading truth, passing out cards and flyers. Other side effects may include but not limited to the expansion of mind and thought, arguments with sheeple, high blood pressure, preparedness, mood swings, and the feeling of a need to get involved. If you see chemtrails after you have begun using LNM, contact your state and local officials immediately because this could be a sign you're waking up. LNM, because you don't have to live in the dark with RMS anymore. Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera. The call-in number is 858-683-1309. We now return to to the program.
All right, we're back, and as the whisper told you, no, you're not hearing voices. That was just a whisper in the recording. This is Late Night in the Midlands, and we're up on our last segment here. We've got about another 20 minutes to go. I will take a couple more calls. I do have a couple questions, the obvious questions, about what we can do, either to prepare or maybe even turn this train around. I don't know what Stan, how he feels about all that, but we'll ask him in a moment. www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Become a member and be informed. And please share the content. You know, we leave it open there so you can post. If you've got some ideas and you're going to take time out to keep it active, you know, go ahead and get yourself a group. It's all free over on latenightinthemidlands.com. And, you know, get active. If there's something you're interested in, such as Tony with the solar flares, you know, we're all interested in that. So if somebody's going to take time out and do some research and stuff like that, well, form us a group there and you know, keep us informed. And speaking of groups, you can go over to project.insearch.com. Glenn has put in a group for every state here in this country, and it's for solutions. Or, you know, we know what the problems are. We know what most of the problems are. Well, we'd like some solutions. So if you happen to get over to project.insearch.com, go ahead and take charge. Be a leader in those groups for your state. Let people know, is there fluoride in the water in your area? You know, post it. Post when the meetings are, when they're going to have town meetings. And help, if you know what you can be done about this, well, share that information so other people can get active. Because, you know, we're not like a lot of radio shows. We don't just think you're going to save the world because you listen to us. We try to get people active. We try to get people to come together, form solutions. We know what the problems are, and let's fix them. So you can get that done over on project.insearch.com. So we're going to get back to it with Stan Dale. And so, Stan, do you think, is there a way to turn this train around, and or should we just be thinking about preparedness?
Really, I think you should be thinking about preparedness. We're not going to turn it around at this late date. It has to go to completion, and I think that the preparation is broken into two kinds, the spiritual preparation and then the physical preparation, which, you know, you put aside food, water, and supplies that you need if you're going to have to endure the situation on the earth. I personally hold to the belief that there will be a rapture and that those who have signed on with the good Lord will be taken to a safe place, just like he did with Noah and his family before the great flood hit. But that hasn't stopped Holly and I preparing our own home, you know, and our children and stuff, advising them on things that they should do to prepare their homes. I would advise people to prepare for the worst, pray for the best.
I can't argue with that, Stan. You're right. You know, me, I'm prepared spiritually. That I am. As far as food and water, no, I preach it, but I'm really not practicing it right now. And it's, you know, and I know even just getting a little bit here and there and storing it is a good idea. And, you know, I have the radios and the batteries and all that stuff. But I'd have to say if something catastrophic happened tonight, it'd be peanut butter and jelly for a little while, and I don't know how long that would last. Because so,
I'm hoping
tomorrow.
It doesn't come to that. You don't have to endure that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You know, I really hope that, you know, something, some miracle happens and it changes around. But, you know, it comes down to people getting involved in some way or form. You know, for too long, Stan, we've had people who just sit back, you know, they watch the news, they believe what they're being fed, and they're just entertained by Dancing with the Stars and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that, you know, entertainment is a good thing. It is. But, you know, when it consumes all of someone's time and they don't pay attention to what's important and what's happening around them, I think then there is a problem. So, you know, I'm a football fan. I watch football during the NFL season. But, you know, I also do this. So it's not like I'm just sitting watching football and saying, hell with it, let the world fall apart around me. I'm trying to get people alert and so they can, you know, do something for themselves. I keep telling people, you know, the Long Ranger is not going to come galloping into town and save everybody. Everyone needs to be their own leader.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It is, you know, we do try to lead a fairly normal life around here, but certainly don't have time to take holidays because we work at sharing this information with people about 100 hours each a week. So it doesn't leave much time for
right.
things. We do catch the odd TV show that takes our mind off of the heavy of all this, but then we get back to reality the next day.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I believe me, I can relate to you because the time that I put into this show, I don't have too much time for anything else. So, you know, and I watch occasional TV show here and there too. But I think that you and I are, you know, we can do that because we spend most of our time trying to get the truth out. And I just wish more people would just take a few minutes every day, share a link, share something, and try to contribute in some way. But I want to go back to the phones here quickly. We've got Mike in Michigan. Mike, you're on Late Night in the Midlands.
Hi. My question is about the EBEs. Are they all the one-third that fell with Lucifer in the Bible, or are there some that are actually beings from other planets, and are they all bad, or how will they all fit in this end-time invasion?
Right. Well, not having met them all, I couldn't say positively there aren't any from other planets, but I do think that the great majority, if not all of them, are fallen ones, and that they are the grays or the manufactured biological entities that were manufactured by the fallen ones that follow Satan in the rebellion that, that's spoken of in our ancient legends and in the Bible. The universe is a mighty big place, and I don't know if there are other life forms out there. I only know about what the good Lord tells us about and what our telescopes tell us. And I do know that a great deception is coming to fool the people of Earth into accepting the wrong fellow as their spiritual leader. And that I'm certain of. Beyond that, it's anybody's guess. I'm not privy to any of the programs any longer. I haven't been for many decades, so I can't answer it better than that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But these...
anything else?
Just one more. But these extraterrestrials, these EBEs that Satan manufactured or were the one-third, they're definitely going to take an active role in end-time prophecy?
Well, I think the gray critters are going to be kicked out by Satan as a show of him returning and getting rid of the alleged bad guys, which are the grays, so that he gains the confidence of the people on Earth that don't know better. So whether they're the one-third or not, I don't think they are. I think the one-third are coming with Satan, if they're not already here, and they will be revealed as, you know, our spacemen, messiahs, or whatever, but it will be they that look human, but are probably taller, and as I said before, their skin is a little bit different than ours, and they will be the one-third you're talking about. I think these grays are not the one-third. I just think they're tools being used to set up an enemy for Satan to destroy, to convince the Earth to believe otherwise.
Okay, fascinating. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. You know, I've heard a lot about the, you know, the aliens are demons. And, you know, and I don't doubt for a minute that they are, you know, some of them, and especially the ones who that might be here now. But I think in the vast universe, there's got to be life somewhere else. I don't know if it's visiting us here now, but I'm sure there's some kind of life out there. But there's no doubt there's something going on in the skies. People are seeing these crafts, and, you know, so I think you're right, Stan. I think you are. Let's get Becky in Texas, and I think that'll be it for phone calls tonight. Becky, welcome to Late Night in the Midlands.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Stan.
Hi.
It's a real interesting show.
Thank you.
Stan, I haven't heard. I missed the very first part of the show, so if I'm repeating myself or repeating what you already said, I'm sorry. I was wondering if you could tell me, like, if you know a timeline. I mean, I heard you say 7 to 10 years when the whole thing's going to come down, but. Is that just when it's going to start, about 7 to 10 years, or are we thinking about maybe 6 months to a year from now when it's going to, you know, the U.S. is going to start to implode upon itself? And also, how much food and water, for how long do you think that we're going to need to do that?
Well, that's an interesting question. It depends on how many people in your family, how many are adults, how many are children, how many are female, how many are male.
Right.
I have put a free Excel program on our website that, under the preparedness link, the Dayo Food Planner, and that'll help you decide on how many weeks of food or years that you want to store and what you need for, you know, various members of your family. But as far as the timeline, I think things are going to start this year to be real serious. And in that seriousness, I think the deception is just right around the corner, and it may be part of what gets Obama, reelected. He's going to need to pull a rabbit out of the hat, as I said earlier in the show, to get popular support, not only in the United States, but in other countries, if he's going to progress from here to leading the world. I certainly think he's a front-runner candidate. Whether he's the real Antichrist or not, I don't know, but he certainly will try to pull a rabbit out of the hat. I think it'll be just announcing that he's made a contact with the aliens, and yes, it has been kept from us, but he's going to reveal the secrets now. And a lot of people think he is an alien. He certainly, technically is, because he's not born in the United States and born in Kenya, but anyway, that's just my opinion.
Right.
Okay, so you think... Okay, thank you so much, Michael, and thank you so much, Dan, for all that you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, Becky. I didn't mean to cut you off, Becky. If you had another question, you're more than welcome to go
well,
for it.
Well, really, I've got a pretty large family, but, about half of them are preparing for things. I don't know whether they're listening to the programs like I'm doing, but my son's always saying, "Mom, you got to make sure you and Dad are, you got to keep ammunition and water and food." And my other son doesn't hardly keep anything in, and it's hard to keep anybody from staying connected. Do you think that Obama is really a bad thing? Do you think that he's part of this and the deception?
He is, whether he knows it or not, but I think he does. And I tell you, if he's not the devil, the devil's choice, he is certainly doing so much to take God and Christianity out of America that he couldn't do any better if he tried hard. The guy is such a bad influence. He's bad. Just say he's bad.
Okay.
Absolutely. All
right,
hey, Becky.
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, and bye-bye to you. And, yeah, I give my opinions about Obama almost on a nightly basis here. And, there's some rockheads. I don't know. I think it might be Obama's buddies who get out there and try to convince you that he's done such great things. He's done great things if you have no belief in God, if you don't care about American values, if you don't care about the Constitution or freedom, he's done a lot for you. But if you're sitting where I am, he hasn't done a damn thing as far as I'm concerned. Stan, really quick before we wrap things up, a couple questions from the chat room. Charles asked about the BP Gulf incident and whether it killed the Gulf Stream, which would help moderate global temperatures. Now, I have been told through a couple sources that this Gulf Stream had stopped. I don't know. What do you know about that?
I think it did stop. I don't know whether the Gulf Stream is still stopped or not. Holly, do you know if the Gulf Stream is still stopped? No, we haven't checked on that lately, but it did stop for a while. And I don't know that BP was the result that was doing that. I think it was a bigger thing on the Earth, but and probably cyclical as well.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, great. Well, people can keep updated on your website about that, because I know that you both do a wonderful job keeping the information flowing over there on your website. Now, one last question here. He asks about Japan's radiation, if this event could affect the magnetosphere. I think I said that right.
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I think it's the radiation is of a frequency that is so high that it wouldn't directly affect the magnetic field, in my opinion, anyway.
Okay, great. Well, Stan, I want to thank you so much for taking time out to be with us tonight. I really enjoyed this. I love talking to you. You're just a fountain of information and good, solid information at that, and I thank you so much. Please give out websites or anything else that you'd like, and we do have you linked up on Late Night in the Midlands.
All right. We'll have a link to your archive shortly, too. Our website is standeo.com. That's STANDEYO.com. And if you go there, you can see the news updated 6 days a week by Holly. She gets up about 4:30 in the morning and starts all that stuff and scours the news services to find things that are pertinent to people that want to know what's really going on. A lot of free stuff there on the preparedness site.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Stan, and God bless you and your wife and everybody you love.
Thank you. God bless you. Night-night now.
All right. Good night. All right, everybody. That's Stan Deo, and we've got him linked up over on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. He's also on the past guest page as well, because he's been on the program before. And, again, I apologize for any audio difficulties that we did have tonight. I know we were supposed to have Jose Collazo join us at the 9 o'clock mark tonight for about 20 minutes, and we had trouble calling out on the switchboard to get him on. I think that the volume level on Stan's end, I think that had something to do on his end, because I don't have no control of that. Of controlling his volume. I can only control mine unless I bring him in on Skype, which next time that's probably what I'll do. Nevertheless, we will have Jose Collazo joining us tomorrow in the very beginning. So I'll do very little news tomorrow in the beginning, and Jose will join us. He's got some information he wants to share. Don't forget, his book is below the chat room. A fantastic book. I suggest you at least check it out and check out the information. He does a great job getting us information. And then after Jose is done with us tomorrow, we'll come back from our break and have Herb Street and his, I think, partner, Michelle, will be joining him. They are ghost hunters. They investigate the paranormal. And he sent me a whole bunch of EVPs that we could play, and we'll take calls. So kind of splitting it up a little bit here. Stan Deo, just what a great guy. You know, he's done a lot, and I've heard people say, oh, he still works with the FBI and does this and that. And you know what? I don't think so. I think Stan Deo's a good man. He's doing great work. He's getting the information out to people, and I appreciate him, because without people, whistleblowers like Stan and like Stu Webb and guys like that who stick their neck out to get this information to us, then, I mean, this program would be no better than, say, Rush, who would just pretty much tell you what's going on from the newspapers he's reading. And, you know, we don't do that here. You know, when we give you information, we also put our own spin on it. We tell you what we think about it, whether if it offends you or not. Whether that be religious or UFO-wise or demons, ghosts, whatever it might be. New World Order, I give my opinions and I don't care. You know, I don't try to claim that I have the answers to everything, because I don't. Nobody does. But I think I have a pretty good grasp on everything. And, You know, I've been told time and time again, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I have been told the last year, you got to get out of there. You got to get your family, get your loved ones, and go get up out of in the middle of nowhere, up high, whatever. And, you know, I'm just not a runner, and I'm not picking on anybody who does that. If that's for you, go for it. For me, I am the captain of my ship, and when my ship goes down, I'm going down with it. If God wants me somewhere else, he'll be damn sure I get there, believe me. He has a way of doing those things. But I know that the powers that be went through a lot of trouble to get me here in Columbia, South Carolina. I've been here since 2008. I mean, it's a whole story. We don't have enough time right now for me to even get into it, but I've told the story before of how I ended up here and how I ended up getting into this radio program and doing what I do. You know, I started this from scratch. I didn't go to school for it. I didn't, you know, didn't have no big mentors. I just seen that something had to be said and somebody had to say it. So I came out of my shell, and this is what I do. I'd like people to come out of their shells, pass the information around. If you're afraid somebody's going to point at you and call you crazy, so be it. You know, all the great ones are always called crazy, aren't they? I say it's the crazy ones we need to listen to. You know, if someone says, don't listen to him, he's crazy, I'm going to go sit at his table to eat my lunch so we can have a conversation. Because the crazy ones seem to know more than the so-called educated ones, these intelligent people who just seem to know it all. But we're not know-it-alls here. We try to get guests who can tell us what's going on, you know, give us the information we need. And, I mean, I could sit here for 3 hours and ramble on to you, but I think you're going to get more out of me bringing somebody who specializes in certain areas that could bring us that information. That's what I've been doing from the start, and that's what I'm going to continue doing until the day the switch is pulled. Speaking of switches being pulled, we're being warned on the local news here that Monday, many, if not all, could lose the internet because of some virus. They want you to go to this FBI website, and there at this FBI website, you can click this little button that'll help clean out this virus if you have it in your computer. And I'm thinking, you know what, I'll take my chances. I'm not going to no FBI website and letting them get into my computer for a damn thing. Although I'm sure they're probably already tracking everything I do, despite that. So I don't know. Is it real? Probably. Do they want to get you to that website so they can scan and check your computer or whatever? Maybe. I don't know. So I'm not doing it. But, hey, you people do what you want. If I'm not on Monday, you know what happened. That's all I can say. But tomorrow night, yeah, we've got Herb Street. We're going to be talking ghosts. We get into the paranormal here, too. You might want to be a little interested in what's going to happen after you die, because let's face it, each and every one of us is going on that final walk over the plank, my friends. Nobody's living forever. And if you think you're gonna, you're just fooling yourself. So with that being said, I want to thank each and every one of you, wherever it is you may be, around the globe, in the chat room, on the phone lines, on the moon, wherever the heck you are. Thank you so much for listening to us tonight, and join us here tomorrow night, won't you? Keep your eyes posted to the sky. Keep your ears posted to this broadcast, because you never know what you might learn, I guess. Because we learned a lot tonight. Stan had just so much information, and I appreciate it, Stan Dale. So for Stan Dale and Autumn and Anthony and the whole gang at Late Night, everyone at project.nsearch.com, thank you again. And we will be back here, same bat time, same bat channel, late night in the Midlands tomorrow night. Good night, everybody. Let's try that again. Good night, everybody.